about. You gotta put it in perspective.
We have more. A lot more.
What?
So I hope that there's nowhere you need to be, because this could take a while.
How long?
Just as long as we want to talk to you, you son of a...
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Ah!
You know, all the cartoons and all the TV shows you see when you're young, like horses and ponies are always really, really cool and happy. They always got like a rainbow or some stars flying behind it. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, it's a pony, it's a pony. So, like, I'm at the petting zoo, and for some reason, the pony came and bit me. When it happened, and I turned around and looked at it, aside from the fact that the horse didn't look anything like the cartoon or what I saw on TV, it was like, dang, horse, like, I trusted you.
And now,
whatever happened to quicksand? Has anyone seen any quicksand lately?
Our feature presentation.
That's really a good question.
Have you?
Has anyone seen quicksand lately?
I
can honestly say I have not either.
No.
I feel like I don't hang out in places where there is quicksand very much, though.
Well, that's my thing, is that I haven't gone from seeing a lot of quicksand to none.
Yeah. Right.
I really never saw it. So.
Right.
But even in
really,
cartoons and everything.
Even in cartoons,
you
it's
don't
missing?
See it anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's in more out-of-the-way places now. You don't really see it if you live in a city in America anymore.
Well, that's why we need Rodney.
Mm-hmm. Yep, asking the tough questions.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday, the 13th of October.
So, how's everybody?
Good.
Anyone watch Fargo?
No.
So good.
Is it?
Taped it. Oh, excited.
I'm so looking forward to coming back. I'm telling you, Kevin, I heard you talking to somebody yesterday about how, I think it was Danielle Pennebaker when she was in, talking about how it's impossible to keep up with all the TV.
Yeah, it really is.
Now Fargo came back. My other show, Manhattan, comes back tonight. Another show I love. So that's the one about the building of the atomic bomb in New Mexico. Yeah, which is a great show.
Because it involves a lot of potential death and death eventually, right?
I mean, at some point they're gonna invent the bomb. We know that from history. But it's the story of the trying to keep it a secret and people trying to find out what they're trying to do and the race against the Germans who are also trying to develop a bomb at the same time.
Sure,
I mean, it's a really captivating show. You would like it, Kevin. You would actually like Manhattan very much. But even though it's set in old times, you would still like it.
Yeah,
but
no way. I mean, there's no way to add another show. It's just not possible.
I know. It's just not possible.
It's impossible.
And Homeland just came back last week.
I haven't seen that yet either.
It's insane. I think, guys, this is going to be bold. I think we have to quit our jobs. I think that's the only way.
Just to watch TV?
I don't see how there's only so many hours in the day. You got to sleep at some point.
Do we all quit on the same day or do we stagger it? Like, how should we?
I think we all have to quit because we're all falling behind and it's only going to get worse.
Okay. And then do we come back when we're caught up or we don't?
No, I think we definitely want to. Once it gets to be closer to Christmas, when stuff wraps up, you know what I mean? I think then we come back.
So we just work in like TV cycles. I like that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You're onto something, Bean.
All right. Let's all get together on
that.
That's
a good plan.
Hey, very quick story to get us started here today before we go on to today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. What do you guys think of the genius or folly of robbing a convenience store, as Mr. Deshaun Terrell Cochran did in Parksville, Maryland, and calling an Uber as your getaway car? Now, on the surface, does that seem – because I've been giving this some thought. Mm-hmm. Does that seem to you like automatically a bad idea or possibly a good idea?
Automatically bad.
Yeah, I think
– really? How come? Tell me why.
How does that ever work?
A, they may not get there in time. Mm-hmm. And B, they've got a record of who you are with your credit card number, your address, everything.
Right, but that's to say the Uber driver knows that you're involved in a robbery though.
All right, what about the timing? What about that, where you're standing there looking at the little map and that guy's turning right and left? You're going, no!
No, I'm here!
I'm over here! Take a left! What's wrong with you?
You're only robbing a convenience store. How long can that possibly take? 2 minutes?
Okay.
3 minutes? I think you wait until you see your Uber driver.
Before you make your exit.
Before you go into
before
the store.
Before you go in and rob.
Before you go in. Yeah, because you give him an address and you say, hey, pull up out front. I'll be right out. You go in, knock the joint over, come back out, get in the Uber. He doesn't have any idea that you're part of a crime, that you've just robbed a store. And you go about your business. That way, if you're by yourself, that way you don't have to line up a getaway car, some flaky friend or family member that then you have to worry about. Because the Uber driver is complicit without even knowing it. You don't have to worry about your mom bringing the car out and having it ready out and on the curb. You know what I mean?
But then what if you have like a mugs driver and he pulls
what
up.
What if beer mug is your Uber driver?
Yeah, and he's like, mind if I get some Twizzlers? And you're like, I don't have time. Let's get out of here.
I didn't forget about the mugs factor. I think you have to put your foot down and say to the Uber driver, I got the place to be, I think. Well, it didn't work out very well.
And who else? It goes with their mom. That was one of your examples.
Well, I'm just saying whoever. Maybe you're.
Well, when
maybe,
you knock joints over, Kevin.
When you knock joints over, you need your mom.
Maybe you don't have a wide circle of friends. So you got to just ask whoever's around.
Mom!
Anyway, the store was robbed. They did call 911. Cops apprehended Cochran just 30 minutes later. Doesn't say how 2 and 2 is put together. Is it possible that the Uber driver was right up on the curb and somebody from inside the store was able to see the license plate maybe as they pulled away? I don't know. Again, not enough details in this story. I also found it curious that police, apprehended him and still in the Uber car. And there was another passenger in the vehicle who was not involved in the crime. Now, that's confusing to me because Ubers, do you share an Uber with strangers like you can with a taxi if both parties agree?
You can if you're on a shared ride, but that shouldn't have been his first choice.
No. Why would you sign up for a shared ride? It's another witness that you have to kill later, right?
Well, that's a stretch.
How much time have you spent thinking about this, Bea?
Well, I mean, I just read the article this morning, but it really creates a lot of thinking going on. So I'm just saying there's another passenger in the vehicle involved in the crime who lets go. In case you're wondering, by the way, I do applaud Mr. Cochran's choice of a high-end silver Lexus as his getaway ride. So at least he's traveling in style, right? It's like, you don't want to Uber X on a big, important day like when you're knocking over a convenience store.
Joy. We call it not going to work. Joy.
Right, exactly. So, anyway, I feel like if we had had this conversation with Deshaun before he went into the store, maybe we could have worked out some of these bugs and he would have gotten away with it. But instead, he's in jail.
Yeah. What a bummer, huh?
Yes.
Right?
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I get it. I know who you are. It's been explained to me. I'm into it. Let's talk.
Petros Papadakis joins us today. To talk about
very noisy man.
Talk about the head coaching position at USC.
Wow.
As that seems to be going poorly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have a discussion. We talked about it yesterday. Well, who was the couple with the
Taylor Swift?
Well, it was Taylor Swift. Taylor and Calvin Harris, yeah.
Yeah. Went and got a massage and maybe, a massage plus.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called?
Like you do. That's the name of the chain that Kevin goes to is Massage Plus. No ambiguity on the menu there.
And she's all uptight. So she's right? Like, wow, that makes me mad.
Seriously.
So we'll get to that.
Step off, T-Swizzle.
Those words have never been said before, ever. We also have the Sweet Life with Muse, which is a chance for you to win an incredible prize package, including a suite at Staples Center, a suite at, Ritz-Carlton downtown. You get to introduce the band. It's nuts. And 25 grand as well.
And a new car.
I don't think so.
We'll pick you up and take you between the Ritz-Carlton and Staples Center because it's a limo.
It's a limo. Good call.
And Colin Hanks will be here. Very excited about that. Love him for so many different reasons. He's in a lot of projects. LA Kings fan, so that's good.
Always welcome.
We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beatdown. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
We're going to take your calls with Kevin and Bean's What's Good coming up next hour. Also, Bean makes his guess, and it's getting close to Halloween, so that means a little... Play that for you too in about 20 minutes by popular request. First, though, Allie is here in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning.
Hey, you guys, this is some of the best news I've seen in a while.
Okay.
Tracy Morgan coming back this weekend. He's hosting Saturday Night Live. It's going to be an amazing show. But before that, he decided to go on stage at not one, but two comedy clubs. He tweeted last night, "My first time on stage in 16 months. I'm at the Comedy Cellar picking up the pieces.
I'm going to get everybody pregnant."
No word on if he did, but I think he probably tried. How great is that?
When he came out at the Emmys, I was shocked at how good he looked and how good he sounded and how his timing was still there. He was still very funny. It was such a relief not having seen him since the accident and not knowing what kind of shape he was in. It's a welcome comeback.
Absolutely. There was no recording happening at either of these venues, but they were told he absolutely destroyed both shows, which is so good to hear. So really looking forward to Saturday. News that Kevin is, well, he was pretty tore up when he came in. Since its debut in 1953, Playboy has had lovely women naked.
Right.
Not anymore.
Went out of business?
Nope. They will still be posed provocatively, but they will not be naked from now on.
Oh, no.
I know.
This is a colossal disaster.
I know. Well, what do you think? Is it just because it's so easy to find naked pictures that they're kind of going in a different direction?
I think they're desperate. I think they are down to under a million copies sold a month.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to try something to shake it up. And maybe they feel like, hey, you know what? We pay a lot of really good writers for this magazine that a lot of people may not be reading because they don't want to pick up a quote-unquote dirty magazine. So let's clean it up and maybe make the transition into a respectable magazine.
But now you're saying people don't read it for the articles, and I don't believe that.
This is going to be a real gut test for people who have claimed they read it for the articles for over the years to see how long they keep their subscriptions coming.
What a strange choice.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Wasn't it like a passage of youth? Like, you would steal one from your dad, you'd all look during recess, and, ooh, boobies.
But I don't think it's been that, I don't think that's been the case for 20 years because of the internet, you know? Now all you need is Wi-Fi, and you don't need dad.
Kids.
Kids.
Right?
They have no idea how easy it is.
They really don't.
Today. It is.
But here's my question. It's also easy to find provocatively dressed, beautiful women, whatever they're going to go to, that's also available.
Right. I mean, now they're just Esquire or GQ.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's a good point, too. Kevin. There's still a lot of competition, whatever they choose to do. It's just, look, it's tough being a magazine right now.
It's true. All right, you guys, yesterday we talked about it, and we're going to talk about it more later on in the show, but apparently, Calvin Harris not pleased with that story that came out yesterday that Taylor Swift dumped him after seeing a photo of him leaving a Thai massage parlor where he got a, what was it called, Kevin? A massage plus.
Massage plus.
He tweeted out yesterday, "It's not going to be a happy ending for everyone. I sue for defamation of character for all these BS stories. Bye bye." Right? He is not feeling it.
Bitch.
So apparently maybe...
So that didn't happen?
It didn't happen, and they're still very much a couple. In fact, Taylor Swift's best friend, Selena Gomez, told Bravo's Andy Cohen yesterday that, quote, "This is honestly so stupid." So, I mean, right there from Selena.
Well, I guess we can't argue with that.
No. We really can't. I mean, so much with the story.
And I tell you, I'm glad you brought up Calvin Harris's tweet because it's not like a guy to deny it when he gets busted getting a handy in a massage parlor. So he must be telling the truth.
That was a loaded sentence right there.
Right?
Yes, it
right?
was.
Oh, good stuff. Something that just made me laugh. This is from David Bowie's booking agent saying, "Don't expect David Bowie to tour."
Okay.
Why is that? Well, because this is a direct quote. "David is one of the best artists I've ever worked with. But every time I see him now, before I even speak to him, he goes, 'I'm not touring.' And I say, 'I'm not asking.'" What? Like, every time you see David Bowie, he's like, "I'm not touring." No, David, I was just coming over to...
That's
it's your
weird.
Birthday. Just saying.
Well, the guy
hi.
Is his booking agent, so it's a reasonable conversation that could be had, I guess.
But do you think...
David Bowie's just trying to cut him off at the pass, maybe.
I don't know.
There's a lot of money to be made for that booking agent if David Bowie goes on tour, I bet.
Yeah, probably.
Would you see him?
I don't go to a lot of things, but I would. I know I would want to.
That's how does that?
How is that relevant?
It is one look because there's a lot of shows I don't go to that I don't feel sad about that I don't miss.
Right.
But that one, that when that one was in town, I would go, man, I wish I'd gone to that because that I bet that was awesome. I still wouldn't go.
So if you're pre-sad about not going, wouldn't that make you go?
No.
Okay.
No, I still it still takes too much for me to actually go.
So this story,
I would regret it.
This story does bum you out because
it does. I'm very sad he's not touring.
In an alternate universe, you might go to it.
If I went, I would have a great time. I'm not going to though.
Yeah,
and especially now that it's not happening.
No, he's not touring.
You are a gift. All of these stars were born on today, the 13th of October. Singer Paul Simon is 74 today. Sammy Hagar is 68. I don't know how this made it, but L.A. Clippers coach Doc Rivers, 54, as well as Clipper Paul Pierce is 38.
Wow, who's putting those birthdays together?
It's very, very odd. Sacha Baron Cohen is 44. Actress Kate Walsh is 48. Actor Matt Walsh is 51.
They should check to see if they were separated at birth by a number
of years. Except... the years.
Right, but same last name. They could be brother and sister, man, and not know it.
Oh, right?
But separated at birth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
By a few years, I said.
By 3 years.
I'm just saying, the same family had each of them and gave them both up for adoption. They don't know that they're related. Look, we just had this story yesterday about those ladies from Korea, right? That just after 40 years, they realized they were sisters. You don't know, man.
But they wouldn't have the same last name now. They would have had the same last name before they were...
Too many details!
Okay, moving on. Kelly Preston is 53.
The first time Bean has ever said too many details.
Good Lord.
It's never been said before.
I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Hearing a lot of banjo.
Yeah, what's that deal? What's happening?
A lot of... banjo.
Is that the new Buck Owens? What are we playing there?
It's Coleman. That's a good reference, though.
Thank you. I thought our audience would enjoy that. Hey, Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Kevin is here, Allie is here, and in for the vacationing Ralph Garman beer mug is here. It's time to play Bean Makes His Guess.
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes His Guess.
Yes.
Still don't get some of the sound bites that were chosen for that intro. I don't know what they have to do with hosting the show.
You know what's funny is all the other songs where we put all us being bad, they're songs about us being bad. That's just,
right.
Just a random.
It's just me hosting a feature. That's all. I don't know why I have to do that. All right. Here's today's topic. The most annoying television host. Who is the most annoying television host? This can include news people. This can include game show hosts, morning and late night talk show hosts. Every person on this list is considered at least by some to be abrasive and or generally irritated. Once again, we go to ranker.com. Tens of thousands of votes. Just to kind of prime the pump a little bit, you'd be happy to know that some of our friends who are on the list are very far down on the list. Jimmy Kimmel, for instance, the 90th. Most annoying TV host. He shouldn't be on any kind of list for an annoying TV
Agreed.
Host, but he's all the way down at 90th. Dr. Drew is down at number 82. Jeff Probst at 49. And
how do you find Probst annoying? Either you like the show or not, but he's competent, right?
He's really good. He's really good on that show. And here's another hint for you. Jay Leno, 33rd on this list.
Oh, well, this list makes no sense.
Now, it's possible he wasn't as – it's possible that, people aren't as annoyed by him because he's not on anymore, maybe. And there are a couple of people, even in this top 10, who don't currently have a show, but they are well known as being hosts of television programs, okay? So we're going to go around the room like we do to try to figure out who are the top 10 most annoying television hosts. Kevin, as usual, you get the seat of honor, and you get the first guess.
Psycho Mike.
You know what? I didn't see Mike on the list. Dr. Drew made the list. I did not see Mike Catherwood anywhere in the top 100, which was a surprise to me because he's certainly annoying. That is going to count as your guess. I'm sorry, Kevin. Bugs, you're up next.
I got to go with Wendy Williams.
Wendy Williams. Wow. That's a great guess, but comes in at number 18. So I'm sorry. You do not get a point for that.
I am going to go Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell is number 11.
Just
outside the top 10. Jeez. And again, I wonder if some of that is just that she's not on currently, so maybe she's not like driving people crazy like she should. Okay. Good guess, though.
Psycho Mike.
Okay, you're going to have to come up with a different guess, Kevin, if we're going to get anywhere.
I'm just kidding. Jimmy Fallon. It's got to be number one.
Gotta
Jimmy
be.
Fallon.
Number one.
Yeah.
I am scrolling.
Look at the top 10, Bean.
I looked at the top 10, and I am just I'm scrolling. I'm not. Here's Jimmy Fallon at number 55.
BS.
I'm sorry. All right, Muggsy?
Well, I don't know.
Can anyone get a point?
I don't think she has a daytime talk show anymore, but when she used to do her giveaways, Oprah would just annoy the hell out of me.
Oprah is number 7 on the list. She is currently a host of a program on her own network called MasterClass. So she is still on TV. Oprah is number 7 on the list of most annoying TV personalities of all time. You are on the board.
F it. We'll do it live. Bill O'Reilly.
Number 6, ladies and gentlemen. Nice. Great guest. Host of the O'Reilly Factor. Well done. Kevin, the pressure's on now because we're on a roll.
Anderson Cooper.
Ooh, let's see. I don't know. That would make me sad if anyone didn't like Anderson. Let's see here. Scrolling.
Going just
going down.
For well. It seems like they're just well known.
Well, so far they've been pretty annoying too.
Yeah.
The ones that have been named. You know what? Anderson Cooper, ladies and gentlemen.
Not
I hate to say
list.
This. Not even in the top. Nope. He's number 89. There he is. Number 89 on the list. That's a little tougher than I thought it would be, you guys.
Just because of his stupid, snarky comments. Uh-huh. Pat Sajak.
Oh.
Pat Sajak is annoying.
I don't have the energy to look for him on this list. I don't think there's any chance Pat Sajak is on this list at all.
I'm going to go Ryan Seacrest.
Number 26.
Wow.
Him I expected to find higher as well.
Yeah. Huh.
Alex Trebek.
Alex Trebek is a good, because he is a smug
you.
Canadian,
right,
isn't he?
Right.
Well, he's definitely not in the top 10.
What are they? What?
I don't think you'll be surprised by the people when we unveil them. By the way,
what's her face?
You're not thinking annoying enough.
What's her face? The one she talks like Nancy Grace.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, number one.
Oh, well done, Muggs.
The most annoying person on television is
good.
Nancy Grace. And by the way, Muggs is right.
Oh, if you haven't seen Nancy Grace, woo, she does blow everyone away.
All right, Allie.
I don't agree with this because I find her delightful. Rachel Ray.
Let's see here. She is pretty far down.
Wow.
Oh, here she is, number 39.
Okay.
All right, one more time around. Let's see if we can fill in some of these blank here. So far, we only have number 1, number 6, and number 7 in the top 10.
Psycho Mike.
I'm sorry, Mike Catherwood from K-Rock's Love Line, still not on the list. I'm sorry.
Larry King.
Larry King is on there, but he's pretty far down as well. He's down in the mids.
I think...
He's 45, Larry King.
Right. I think Maury. Maury kind of annoys me. Maury Povich.
Really?
You are not the father.
And he is not on the list.
Damn it.
Yeah. All right, last guess, Ellie.
Kathy Lee.
Kathy Lee Gifford is number 15 on the list.
What?
Number 15.
Sean Hannity.
here's your top 10, you guys. Number 10 is Geraldo Rivera.
Okay.
Yeah. Has he hosted a show in
He has Geraldo at Large. He's on TV now. He's on TV every day.
Really?
Yes.
Who knew?
He's on Fox.
Oh,
wow. Joan Rivers is at number 9, by the way. Now, to me.
Wow.
To me, she gets a pass. You know,
Absolutely.
He's dead and all. Number 8 is Glenn Beck.
Course.
Number 7 is Oprah Winfrey. Number 6 is Bill O'Reilly. Number 5 is Dr. Phil.
Oh,
crap.
Number 4 is Piers Morgan.
Oh, come on. Of course.
Sure. Number 3, Donald Trump.
Oh.
Not currently on a cycle of Celebrity Apprentice, but certainly a television host. And number 2 was Al Sharpton. And then number 1 was Nancy Grace. So there you go. Mm. The most annoying hosts on television. This has been Bead Makes Us Guess.
Bead Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Every day, at some point throughout the show, if we have time, we like to open up the phones for a few minutes for you, the Kevin and Bean listener, to weigh in on whatever's on your mind. Any kind of questions or comments or things in the news you want to talk about. And I have really enjoyed this feature. The number is 1-800-520-1067. Like your friend yesterday, Miguel.
His name was Manuel.
Manuel.
Yeah,
same
don't
guy.
Disparage Miguel.
He was Miguel's brother, if I remember correctly. So Manuel gets on, and this wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for What's Good, but Manuel gets on and really manages to hit every one of your buttons in about 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he pretty much was saying, why are females reporters in sports?
Exactly.
And that was crazy. And
or in media at all, right?
Media at all, yeah.
And then calling me Abby repeatedly just to put me in
Abby.
My place. Screw you, Manuel. F you again. Now I'm mad again.
Well, a lot of listeners enjoyed hearing that exchange. But so that's the beauty of this feature is something that you feel we should be talking about or you want us to know or you've got a question or a comment, anything on your mind at all, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Beans, What's Good is coming up next here on K-Rock. First, though, we are well into October, as you know. And, of course, there's always room for Halloween spooks. And there's also always room for two eyeballs. This was was it just last year the two eyeballs came into our lives, Kevin?
I think so, yeah.
Believe it or not, there's a man singing right now. A 10-year-old creating this genius.
This would be better if we could understand it.
Well,
there he is.
Right.
It wasn't the greatest recording of the world. So last year we were doing a thing where we were asking you, the Kevin to be listener, to send in Halloween songs. We wanted something to kind of add to the rotation because you could only hear so much Thriller. You could only listen to so much Monster Mash. And a listener submitted Two Eyeballs, and we all fell in love with it. It really became one of our favorite songs. We played it a bunch last year. And at some point we actually talked to the guy who sent it in to us, right?
Yep.
And we thought it might be fun for all you new Two Eyeballs fans who haven't heard the backstory on this song to hear this interview from last year. So when you think back on that magic day when inspiration struck and you laid down Two Eyeballs as a 10-year-old, tell me about what you remember.
Well, I was a big fan of Thriller, Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Right.
And I think I just thought I wanted to make my own version. Like, that looks pretty easy, like a scary dance song.
Mm-hmm. Were you a musical kid? I mean, was this unusual for you to write and record songs?
This was, like, probably one of my first songs, but, I was always interested in music. I had a bunch of Casio keyboards. I think I recorded this on this old, I think it was on this old guitar toy called the Hot Licks.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I don't either.
The Hot Licks. Can we hear a little bit of Two Eyeballs, and then we have some more questions for McCall, because this is the one that the listeners love for Halloween.
First of all, high quality. Love that. I don't understand a word you're saying.
Why are you so far away from the mic, McCall?
Well, I was just recording on like a boombox.
Uh-huh.
This is just like a boombox, put a cassette tape in, press record. And, you know, I was 10 years old, so I wasn't really thinking about much else except just the performance.
Look, we love it. Don't get us wrong. We love it.
Now, Kevin, before you hit it again and before it gets into the big Two Eyeballs hook, here's what we've missed so far. Who dares to enter the House of Horrors?
Right.
It all started on a night, just like tonight. I heard a creak. It came from the attic. So I went inside, and I think that's where we pick it up.
Oh.
Two eyeballs. What was so scary about two eyeballs? Like, don't most people have two eyeballs? Like, one eyeball, that's scary. Why is two scary?
Well, because they're rolling around. They're not inside a head.
They're just rolling around
in the attic.
We didn't get that.
Are they
floating in air or are they on the floor in the attic?
I always envision them like on the floor rolling.
Are they side by side or is it just mayhem?
No, they're side by side.
Side by side. Okay.
Do you think they're from the same person?
Yeah, I think they are.
Okay. We're trying to get into his psyche when he was 10, like what he thought when he wrote this.
I grew up on the East Coast where you had attics. And the attic was a pretty terrifying place.
That was always
a scary place for you. All right, so he hears a creak in the attic. He went inside. He saw two eyeballs. And now the story continues. We find out something about what 10-year-old McCall saw on the news.
That night, I saw on the news two eyeballs.
tell you, that's my favorite part because you give yourself an echo.
It's awesome. Two
eyeballs, 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 eyeballs.
What did you do with this song? Did you play this for friends or family or anybody after you made it?
Yeah, some of my close friends and family definitely know this song. And I felt like I was just sitting on gold for 25 years.
Sure.
Well, you were just waiting for this moment to get it on K-Rock.
See, what could the dream be about?
I can't imagine. Something maybe he saw on the news and then also saw in his attic.
He had a dream about.
Two eyeballs.
Two eyeballs.
Court change.
I can so see Radiohead covering this, by the way.
Ended up what?
At a face.
At a face. So the eyeballs rolled around and then they found a face that didn't have eyeballs?
Yeah, like they found the face they were supposed to be a part of.
Oh, I see.
That was also in the attic.
Right, like they rolled, I guess they probably rolled down the stairs and out the attic.
I see. And then
the meatballs that roll off the table and out the door.
Right, and then somebody out there just happened to not have eyes.
Well, no, like probably the evil character that these eyes once belonged to.
I see.
Come on, Kevin, pay attention. I'm sorry. It's clear. It's clear as day.
It's all subtext, you know.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. He's turning it on with the keyboard.
I heard a creak.
Uh oh.
Not from the attic. Not from the attic. It did come from the attic.
Oh no. Don't go up there. Did you go up again?
Now, this part, I can't even understand myself.
So you don't know what you said?
I don't know. That's correct.
That's it.
I think that I said that my dog went up.
And then
came down with no head.
With no head.
Oh,
no.
Wow. Not that is dog. Terrifying.
What a troubled 10-year-old you were.
Seriously.
Holy cow. Couldn't love that guy more.
So good.
What's wrong with him?
I don't know, but I am going to have doon-doon-doon-doon in my head the next 2 weeks.
Oh, just an update. We did a month-long search for Halloween songs last year, and then on Halloween, we did not play that one.
We did forget.
On purpose, or you forgot?
No, we forgot.
No, we forgot.
it was our favorite one from a month-long search, and we didn't play it. That's how we roll.
That's the quality decisions that are made here on the Kevin Beach Show. All right, a very quick break, and then we come back with your phone calls. Alex, you hold on. We are going to get to you in Valencia first. You have a very legitimate question. But anybody who's got a question, anybody who's got a comment, anybody who has something they want to tell us, now is your chance. You go on the air. Be part of the Kevin Beach Show next, right after this on K-Rock. Hey, it's time for What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good indeed? Your chance to be part of the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, our friend Colin Hanks joins us in 20 minutes. A lot to talk to Colin about. I promised Alex we would go to him first. He is on line 2 up in Valencia.
Hey, Alex.
Good morning, party people.
What's good?
Hey, I wanted to ask Allie where a good place to park my car so I can live in it is.
It depends on your needs, Alex. Do you want Wi-Fi? Do you want to feel safe because there's lighting? There's a lot that goes into it.
I think safe with Wi-Fi would be good.
All right. Outside of any hotel, like the valet area. Yeah, because at nighttime, when you go there, the valet is just kind of sporadic at night because it's usually during the day where they're parking the cars. Mm-hmm. So valet area of a hotel.
That is very smart because hotels all have Wi-Fi. And but don't you run into password problems? Do you have to hit up some guest at the hotel for the password?
Exactly. Oh, okay. Then, Alex, you go into the hotel bar. And that could lead to one of two things. Just getting the room number, and then you're like, oh, thank you so much, Mr. Fredrickson in room 582. Then you go on, that's his password. Or you get to sleep with Mr. Fredrickson in room 582. So, Alex, it's a win-win.
I like it. Allie has given us a lot of thought. I think that's great advice. Thank you for the call, Alex. Appreciate that. All right. You gave that guy pretty good advice is what just happened. Let's try Dan and your Melinda line one. You didn't think that Allie wasn't going to know the answer to that question, did you, Kevin?
Well, I think he was intending it to be just like a joke, an insult, and she just came back with some great information. Like, now I'm thinking I need to do that.
You think I do live in my car?
No, I think I need to. Dan, hi.
Yeah, hey, guys. So I was watching Netflix late night last night, and actually came across this documentary called Cowspiracy, and it was really interesting because I learned about how bad eating hamburger is for you. And I'm not even a vegan or vegetarian. And it's crazy because you use like 250 gallons of water per pound of hamburger meat. And it's actually, you know, the methane and the natural gas and the emissions that come from cows is like way worse than
all of don't be hating on cows, man. First of all, cows are awesome. But you're right, Dan. A lot of people will tell you that the number one thing you can do to save the environment, and especially to save water, is to stop eating meat. A lot of people will tell you that because exactly what you said. It takes so much less water to grow fruit and vegetables, for instance, than it does to make a hamburger.
All right, now that you've seen Cowspiracy, are you going to stop eating meat?
Man, you know what? I'm going to cut back a lot. I'm cutting it out completely. It's going to be pretty tough.
Yeah. I love that this is the number one thing that's killing the world. I'm not going to stop eating it.
All right. You know, maybe I'll cut down on one hamburger a week, but I'm still going to consume
meat. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Evan in Upland. Let's really get people upset with a question about politics. Evan, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for calling. What's good?
Good morning. I think it's ridiculous that Hillary Clinton's getting away with using her private servers to send classified information. I think she needs to be going to jail for it. It's a crime.
I think when Donald Trump is elected president, she's going to go to jail, and then she's going to be deported and be forced to live out her sentence in a jail in another country. How about that?
I agree. I think she should do that.
We should play our new game, Drunk or High. Allie, what's your guess?
I'm venturing both.
Both.
Evan,
Bean, what's your guess?
How's it going?
I'm getting high. I'm getting a high hit off of Evan.
I'm getting straight drunk.
Really? Which is it, Evan?
I'm driving into work. Neither.
Are you kidding me? This is you sober at 7 o'clock in the morning?
Yes, sir.
And your vote counts as much as mine. All right, sir. Thanks very much for listening. Thank you for the call. This has been What's Good.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Actor, director, producer, and the official Los Angeles Kings correspondent for the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Colin Hanks joins us in studio coming up right after 7 o'clock. Allie's here now in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. Good morning, Allie.
Hey, you guys. Some baby news for you. They've been documenting how hard it has been for them to actually conceive. But now, John Legend and his model wife / hostess / pretty much funniest person on Instagram, Chrissy Teigen, they're expecting their first child. Was that a baby sound, Bean?
Yes.
Either that or a duck. I couldn't tell.
That sounded like a goat.
Play it again.
Hold on. Goat.
That's a baby.
That's a baby. Yeah. That's a baby cooing.
It's pretty. That's not a coo. A pretty weak baby.
Really?
Yeah.
How about this one?
Better.
So much better.
Okay, way better. Yikes.
Way better.
That's scary and dangerous.
Yikes, that's the best thing I've ever heard.
Really? That's an evil laugh.
Yes. That is a baby enjoying life so much.
Okay.
Plus, that baby knows stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Who's with me? Anyway, they broke the news yesterday saying, as many of you know, we've been trying to have a baby for a while now. It hasn't been easy, but we kept trying because we can't wait to bring our first child into the world and grow our family.
And that little baby will grow up to be Adolf Hitler.
No. Not even a Lord, can we just let these nice people have their moment?
Just saying. Somebody had a bad baby.
Pain.
Who was that, Pat Robertson?
Yes, yes, it was.
It's crazy to me that anyone would say that about a baby ever, ever, ever.
Well, look, somebody out there is having the next Damien. I mean, it just, that's how it goes. They all come from somewhere, you guys. Every bad person came from somewhere. You don't know. You don't automatically assume your baby is going to be Jesus.
What? Are you...
Is God punishing you?
What happened?
What else you got, Allie?
Bean, are you okay? Oh,
all right, all right, all right.
No, seriously, what just
Bean, really?
I just hit the mic like you do.
With your head?
Maybe.
Good times.
How do you hit the mic with your head?
What else in the show biz, Beat, Allie?
No, but how do you hit the microphone with your head?
It's complicated, you guys. Not at the best angle right now. I need to rearrange.
Can you play the baby laughing again?
No, I can't. Move on! What else you got?
I'm not at the best angle.
That's what he said.
Wow.
Oh, all right, some Fallout Boy news for you. They have re-recorded Irresistible, and they're going to release the track on Friday. And you may be saying, well, why? Patrick Stump did a great job
Patrick
on that.
Patrick Stump did a great job on that singing lead.
Thanks for asking, mm-hmm. Kevin. They have re-recorded it with a different singer. What?
Fall Out Boy has re-recorded.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who do you think that singer would be? Give me some guesses.
Elvira.
No. That's a good one. Very timely.
Who would be? It's a guest. Somebody
mm-hmm.
guessing?
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, that would be great, and I'd listen to it. No.
No.
Jim Morrison.
No, that would be quite the coup.
Turd Ferguson.
Would be the greatest. Not Turd.
Lou Reed.
Lou Reed. No, again, very much a coup if they got him. Biggie Smalls is the illest. He indeed is. Smart
best.
Lady, but no, oh. Not Biggie.
Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys.
No.
Who would it be?
It would be Demi Lovato.
Oh.
Right?
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Great question.
Different topic.
Why are all these people dead?
Demi Lovato.
Oh, there it is. Yes. She actually did the recording, and according to bassist Pete Wentz, who wrote on his blog yesterday, first of all, Pete Wentz has a blog.
He does, yeah.
And he blogged, I think Demi Lovato has one of the most powerful voices today. So we worked through an afternoon, and she just got it. So it's being released on Friday. I will take a listen.
I wonder how Patrick Stump feels about
right?
his bass player replacing him on their records before he releases them.
Right? Like, hey, that was a good job, dude, but we're bringing Demi Lovato
Somebody else.
Yeah, that's got to be tough. ABC, we heard a while ago, they are redoing Fantasy Island, but according to Deadline, with an all-female cast. They're reporting the series will follow a brilliant, dynamic, and sexy woman who runs a San Francisco-based outfit named Fantasy Island that aims to fulfill clients' deepest and darkest wishes.
So it's Lesbian Island.
Oh.
Really is what it is, right?
Is that your deepest wish?
Well, I'm just saying, you're going to put a bunch of ladies on an island and strand them there. What do you think's going to happen?
I hadn't thought much into it.
Yeah,
right?
Like you
they
freak.
They don't just put them on an island and then leave them.
Right?
I think people
Fend for yourselves, ladies.
People go to the island. Wasn't that the idea behind the TV show?
Yeah, they bring people onto the island.
Right.
Right?
All right. Well, I haven't seen the new version yet. I don't know. They haven't even cast it yet.
So
right. The way I'm picturing it, though, they just dump a bunch of hot ladies on an island and they say, "See you in a year," and then
right. But that has nothing to do with Fantasy Island. Why would you be picturing that?
It's Bean's Fantasy Island.
It's my Fantasy Island.
What's happening?
Wow.
Right.
Okay. Limitless. Bean.
Yes.
You're digging it, right?
It's very good.
Well, Bradley Cooper, who is not only one of the executive producers of the series, he starred in the pilot, the initial show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Gangbuster
and the movie,
numbers.
On which he's based.
Exactly. Well, he is back as his role of Senator Edward Mora in the October 27th episode. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can look forward to that.
He's good. He's real. I mean, obviously, he's a real good actor. He's real good on that show. He's a good character, too.
Excellent. And a new game show in the works from American Idol producer Nigel Lithgow. It's called The Easiest Game Show Ever. It's going to pair contestants. They're going to work together to answer 20 true or false questions and win up to $100,000 in cash per episode. They just need to get at least 15 of the 20 answers correct. Variety is reporting that Michael Ian Black will be hosting the show, and it will be on cable network Pop starting early next year.
What makes it easy?
It's true or false, and I guess maybe that you have a 50-50
chance. 50-50
chance? I don't know.
Huh.
But they can't call it the easiest game show ever if it's not, right?
Right.
All right, good stuff. All of these stars were born on today, the 13th of October. Sammy Hagar is 68. Paul Simon, 74. Actor Matt Walsh is 51. Actress Kate Walsh is 48. Sacha Baron Cohen is 44. And singer Ashanti is 35. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
How much meat is in Colin Hanks' mouth right now? Because it seemed like he's struggling to even say hello when he walked in.
It was a delicious morning breakfast sausage.
Uh-huh.
You got to start the day off with a strong breakfast, guys.
Right, that is important.
You guys know this. Right. It was the first thing they taught you in radio school.
It's the most important meal of the day, right.
Most important meal of the day.
Where did you go through a drive-thru this morning?
No. I had breakfast at home that I brought with me.
Wait, you prepared breakfast at home and then put it in the car and ate it on the way to the station?
I may have had some food delivered last night that then I just held on to this morning. I may have done some pre-planning. Pre-planning.
Okay.
The second lesson you learn at radio school.
Okay, so first is good breakfast. Second is pre-planning.
Right. Yeah, the third is apparently the bed you guys have here in the corner that someone's been sleeping on.
That's my office playpen. I don't actually have an office. So
lesson number three. These are the things you learn in the morning on the radio.
Well, it's always a pleasure to welcome our friend Colin Hanks to the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, from Mad Men and Dexter and Fargo and so many other things. And by the way, sorry to hear you got fired from Fargo. I did watch last night, and it was, you know, I noticed you weren't on, so I just assumed.
I wasn't fired.
I just assumed Hanks lost another job.
No, they just went in another direction.
That's what they tell you when they fire you. It's not you, Colin, it's us.
That's the first thing you learn in acting school.
That was the first thing you learn in acting school. When they say we're going in another direction, it means you're fired.
Right. Look at all these other very talented actors we've hired instead of you, Colin Hanks, is basically what they're saying.
A pretty impressive roster of people on that new Fargo show, though, I got to say.
That new Fargo show is great. Yeah. And episode one ends, and you go, I cannot wait another week to see what happens next.
I watched it a few months ago. Noah Hawley was like, do you want to watch the first episode? And I said, no. Because I don't want to have to wait like months to see the second episode, and I could tell that it was upsetting him that I wasn't going to. So I'm like, okay, I'll watch. And then as soon as it was over, I said, "See, this is why I didn't want to do this.
I have to wait for months.
Now I have to wait." Damn
Colin, you've been one of the tricks to any entertainment career, especially as an actor, is making those right choices. And a lot of times, you have no idea with whether what you're seeing on the page, how it's going to translate, how it's going to be made, what it's ultimately going to be. Was Fargo one of the toughest decisions you ever had to make in terms of saying yes to that project?
Not really, because the initial response was automatically no.
Why?
That sounds like a horrible thing to do.
Don't mess with it,
Don't mess with it. Yeah. But everyone had pretty much said, read this and then tell us what you've – and then let's have a discussion, essentially. And as soon as I read that first episode, I just went, oh, well, this is amazing. I'm in. And, you know, I hoped that it was going to be well received. There's no way I could have – or any of us could have predicted how well it was going to be received.
You got nominated for an Emmy, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
But the Emmys decided to go in a different direction?
They decided to go in a different direction, yeah. Same with the Golden Globes. They both went in the same direction together, holding hands into the sunset. You never know. But it's fun when it's a surprise like that, that's for sure.
Well, Colin is back on TV. TV. We'll talk a little bit about his new show that's on CBS. It's already a smash hit, one of the highest-rated news shows of the season called Life in Pieces. But let's get to the business. Let's get to why you're here today, because you have a passion project that is we've been hearing about for a long time, and it is finally here. And, in fact, it's going to be premiering in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
On this Friday night at the Arclight.
Yes, that is correct.
And we're talking about All Things Must Pass, the rise and fall of Tower Records. For folks who are new to even hearing about this documentary, Colin, that you directed, tell us the genesis of it. Did it come from you growing up in Sacramento, home of Tower Records?
Yeah, so I grew up in Sacramento where Tower was founded, and there was always a large amount of civic pride towards Tower just because it was always based there. They never left, and not a lot of stuff came from Sacramento. And so when the stores were closing, I was talking with an old friend of mine, family friend of mine, and we were sort of lamenting the fact that, you know, this Sacramento institution that had made its way around the world was closing. And she had sort of said in passing, yeah, you know, I can't believe it started in that little drugstore. And I was absolutely shocked. I said, excuse me? And I found out that Russ Solomon, the founder, had actually started selling used 78s out of his father's drugstore in the 40s. And I said, oh, well, that's a documentary right there. And I spent the better part of the last 7 years of my life trying to make that documentary. And it's, you know, it's one of those things. My godmother worked at Tower Records. I didn't have a sweet tooth, so I spent a lot of my money at Tower Records. And it just, for me, it just seemed like a no-brainer. It seemed like that would make for a fantastic documentary.
Russ Solomon, the man who started Tower Records, is still alive. He's 90 now, right?
Yeah, I was just at his 90th birthday a couple of weeks ago.
We had on a longtime Tower Records employee, Bob Zimmerman, a few weeks ago. You probably know Bob, who is part of a campaign to try to get Russ Solomon into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I think has to happen while
Absolutely.
Mr. Solomon is still alive. I mean, you talk about a guy who did as much for popularizing pop and rock music as Russ Solomon. It's hard to come up with a guy like that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, he was instrumental, and Tower was instrumental in how music was bought and sold and consumed and enjoyed. And I mean, it was the place in every city they were at, you know, especially in those early years, you know, the 60s and early 70s. It was the destination. It was the place to go. We're going to meet up at Tower Records. We're going to hang out in Tower Records. And it was a special place. You know, Russ instilled in each one of these stores this mentality of, it's not my store, it's your store. The people who run it, the people that buy the, you know, that stock the shelves, the people that open up the store every single morning and close it at some point in the night, depending
whenever
that party ends. You know, it's their store, and it was run from the bottom up, so to speak. And Russ instilled that mentality in over 192 stores around the world. That's a very special thing. So the amount of music that went through those doors that were sold, and he was a champion of so many different kinds of music and so many different technologies that he really did quite a lot of work for not only rock and roll, but for everything.
I was fascinated by he's that influential. I was fascinated by when he started. It was just sort of like, hey, you know what we should try?
Yeah. No, I mean,
and that, like, that was it.
It fell into it.
Everything was
it
that
wasn't
way.
A genius plan. It worked out to be great, but
no, and it, you know, that was actually something that we discovered a lot as we made the documentary, because when I went in, I just sort of thought dates and the history and the historical aspects of it were fascinating enough. Do you know what I mean? He opens up a store in San Francisco in March of 68, and then that city is invaded by hundreds of thousands of dirty hippies from around the world, and they have a really great summer of love. you know, so those kinds of things are fascinating. But then when you meet Russ and you find out what a character he is, what a great storyteller he is, you then find out, well, how he found that location. He went to San Francisco the night before with a lady he found at a bar that he knew that worked at his barber shop, and he says, oh, let's go to San Francisco and let's have a good time.
I love in that story, he's like, I wish I could remember her name.
Can't remember her name.
Oh, my God. She's basically responsible for you looking across the street and saying, that's a good
there's
location.
There's so many things about this story. First off, she's already married. Second off, he runs into her at a bar, but then earlier, and then later he says, you know, you got to keep in mind, I mean, this is early. This is like 5 in the evening. Okay, so he's at a bar at 5 in the evening, goes to San Francisco, has a great time, then wakes up, is so hungover, all he needs is a greasy breakfast. He just so happens to go to some place, and then he looks up and he sees an empty store across the street. Like, those kinds of stories you don't know about when you sort of have the initial idea. And then when you find them, you're so excited.
And they almost never – you can almost never put so many of those together to make all of these stores. I mean
– they string together. I mean, literally every single store has some sort of story of that caliber.
Who was it that found the location on Sunset?
A wholesale distributor friend of Russ's suggested the location over on Sunset and Horn, but there was no building there. It was what was called a Man Munts. It's an 8-track place where you can get an 8-track installed into your car.
Right.
Kids, don't ask me what an 8-track
is. Yeah, don't even worry about that.
But the thing that a lot of people don't know is they actually built that store. That store that is still standing all these years later. They built that for like $70,000. I mean,
and
it was built by like 3 dudes.
Yeah, they weren't in construction either. No. They were just like, you know what? We need a building, so let's build a building. Like, who thinks that?
Yeah, and in fact, one of the guys who built it was this guy Stan Gohman, who at the time was one of the clerks for the store and went on to become the COO of Tower and worked there for over 30 years.
Why is that building still empty, do you think, Colin? It's got the great piece of real estate, great location.
Well, it's the good news is that Gibson Brands, Gibson Guitars, has taken over the lease of that space. So they're going to be able to move in, and they're going to do something cool with it. They haven't really told me too much about it, but in the meantime, they're going to let me throw a party in it. So
we notice you have already painted it. It's starting to look familiar again.
Yeah, there's old friendly mustard and ketchup colors going up. Yeah.
Colin Hanks is here. The documentary is called All Things Must Pass. You can see it on Friday night, October the 16th at the Arclight in Hollywood. And then eventually, is there going to be a wider theatrical release? Is that the plan?
Yeah, it'll expand out in the weekends to come, not only in Los Angeles, but in other cities as well.
All right. We have many more questions about this. By the way, we've barely scratched the surface of this great documentary. Bruce Springsteen is in it, and Dave Grohl is in it, and David Geffen is in it, and so many people. Did you do all those interviews, by the way, Colin?
I was there for all of them. I wasn't. I was drinking in the corner. I was there.
You oversaw. Close enough. More with our guest, Colin Hanks, right after this on K-Rock. Colin Hanks is here, the director of a new documentary called All Things Must Pass. You can go to towerrecordsdoc.com for all the details. Here's a little bit of the trailer. I think the Kevin Bean audience will recognize the first voice we hear here.
I got a job at Tower Records because that's the only place I could get a job with my haircut.
The whole thing became a phenomenon.
Tower was like the place to work at.
A perfect storm of events was developing.
There was no need for kids to even go in a record store to get their music.
It's the end of an icon.
He fought, but he basically had to cut the heart out of the company.
Somebody's taken it away from us. The bank said, we don't need a visionary.
Ruh-roh. Colin, the first 5 seconds of your documentary, those two cards that you put up, really tell the whole story in a nutshell. Would you share those with the audience?
Yeah. By 1999, the company was doing sales of over $1 billion. And within just a short number of years, they filed for bankruptcy. And that really is the sort of... the mission statement, you know, there's so much stuff. There's so many ideas and opinions that people have as to why Tower is gone. And the biggest one is Napster or the internet or, you know, free music and all of that. And to a degree, that is true. But really, when you look at those facts, you know, I mean, to somehow sell over $1 billion worth of records and then you're going bankrupt, you know, just a few years later, that's more than just the internet there. There has to be more there. And so we really took it as our mission statement to explain all of the factors that led to its demise. And Napster is definitely part of it. There's no doubt about that.
Was that the first big blow to that business?
No, that was actually one of the last ones, really. I mean, really, when you're looking at it from a big perspective, there are a couple of different factors. one of the very first ones, which probably started as early as, you know, the 1980s, was the introduction of the CD. Because when the CD was introduced, all of a sudden, that became a huge part of the music industry,
right,
which was selling CDs to people that had already bought those albums on record. So once the business then props itself up as, oh, well, you just rebuy these CDs. Okay, well, that's not necessarily the most solid footing, because eventually
right,
people are going to, you know, fill out their collection on CDs. And then are you going to try and convince them to do that again with, like, DAT, you know, and all of these other, you know, different sort of mediums that were starting to come through. So there's that. Then there's the other things of, well, the company itself expanded too quickly and expanded into markets that maybe they should not have gone to.
They just went to countries they wanted to party in.
Well,
hey, I hear Brazil's nice. Let's go there to open a store.
There is a little bit of that for sure, you know. But when you go to, you know, Argentina, or you go to Mexico City and you do some shady real estate deals and you make these stores that involve a forklift to change a light bulb, those costs end up sort of adding up. But then there's other things. Something as simple as, you know, the music industry, the record industry stopped selling singles. Well, when you do that, you lose an entire generation of kids coming in to buy, just coming into a store.
Yeah.
Never mind buying something, but coming into a store. And that generation just so happens to be the generation that was in college when Napster comes around. So all of these things combined with, you know, some personal health issues and stuff really brought along, the demise of the company.
If they had run it in a better way, could they still be around, or was it just a matter of time?
There's a couple of different opinions on this thing. Could Tower Records still exist in some way, shape, or form? Yes, but they would have had to have made some very serious changes. One of the biggest ones, I believe, would be they would have had to have started to sell used CDs. For whatever reason, Russ was adamant that they would not sell used CDs. The irony is that he got into the record industry selling used records.
Yeah.
But he believed very strongly that there would always be a collector culture with music, and that people would always be buying albums, CDs for a collection, for a library. That, of course, ended up not necessarily happening. So that's one big thing. The other thing is, and this is purely my opinion, they tried so hard to save every single store. They tried so hard to not only save every store, but maybe even continue opening stores. In my opinion, they should have scaled back. At some point, you should have said, we hold on to Sunset. We hold on to 4th and Broadway in New York. We hold on to some other big name ones. We keep those open. We keep those alive. And maybe we'll be able to survive. But the problem is they just didn't think that party was ever going to end. And it had to end. All parties got to end eventually.
Something that I had thought watching it, and then you touched on it in the film, was everybody that grew up near a tower thought theirs was the first.
Yeah.
Because they were so unique to that area, they felt so local. I grew up here, and then when I went to college in Boston, I called my dad. I'm like, Dad, they have a tower here. How did they get a tower here? Like, it blew my 18-year-old mind because it felt so local.
Well, and that was, again, I think one of the other reasons why I secretly wanted to make this documentary. Because I'm from Sacramento, I know it started in Sacramento. I went to the first two Tower Records I went to growing up as a kid. But when I moved down to L.A., I would hear people all the time saying, oh, you know, Tower Records, that started up on Sunset. You know? And, you know, the people in New York thought their tower was the first tower. The people in San Francisco definitely thought theirs was the first tower, of course.
And still do.
And so, you know, the thing that I was talking about earlier that Russ really instilled, it wasn't his stores. It was the people that worked there. And so when you go to a Tower Records in Boston, that really represents Boston. I mean, that's really a Boston store. And so, you know,
it's super annoying and cheats.
How dare you? He meant that they sold a lot of the band Morphine, that Boston-based band.
My bad, I misunderstood.
Don't worry, they had towers in Orange County too. They've got them down there too. So, you know, basically, really, when you think about it, and this is kind of a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their head around it because they think of Tower Records as just this huge big brand that had stores everywhere. But each store really was run like a mom and pop organization.
Absolutely,
they were really independent stores.
Hey, Colin, do you go to Amoeba and get that same high?
Absolutely.
Are you, Really, you still do physically go to a record store?
Absolutely, yeah. No, I definitely go to Amoeba. I go to a bunch of other ones. Vacation Vinyl is another one that I go to in my neighborhood. I still like the look. My name is Colin Hanks, and I'm an addict.
Right.
And I like to go stores because it is the ritual for me. And if I have some time to kill, I would, you know, I go, okay, how much? Okay, well, I got, you know, 45 minutes. I can go over to Amoeba real quick.
There's
and see
definitely
what's going
a
on.
Social aspect to going to places like that.
For sure. And, you know, a lot of the people that I've talked to about this film, we talk about the personal connection that is made at a record store. And that is both an interaction and then a connection with yourself. You know, you can meet people at a record store, you can learn from people at a record store. But the
thing sausage coming
that
back.
Sausage is coming back up. But the hold on, let me wash that down real quick.
There you go.
Second breakfast.
Tastes as good the second time as it did.
Just
the first
as good the second time around. Even better. If I had my bird here, I would feed it my regurgitated sausage. But the personal connection that I feel is still really important is that connection of. When you buy a record that means something to you, and I call everything records, CDs, tapes, whatever.
Right.
When you buy that record and it ends up becoming one of your favorites, I remember where I was when I bought it. For some strange reason, that's like imprinted in my mind.
And just having it to hold in your hand is part of the experience.
Yeah. And I still download stuff. I stream. I do all of that stuff. I'm not a Luddite by any means. But I don't remember where I was when I downloaded the new Tame Impala record. But I remember where I was when I bought that Tame Impala record because I liked it so much, I went and bought it for my collection. Because I'm
listen,
weird.
We got to take a break. Colin Hanks is here. The documentary is called All Things Must Pass. The LA premiere is going to be on October 16th at the ArcLight Hollywood. Can people still get into that, or is that?
Yes, of course.
That's this Friday, right?
This Friday.
All right. Fantastic. Hey, Colin, I know you got a TV thing to go to, but stick around for one more. We got to talk some hockey because we haven't had our LA Kings correspondent on for a while. So we'll take care of that business when we return right after this on camera. Well, how about this? Talk about a guy who barely ever shows up for work. Our Los Angeles Kings correspondent, Colin Hanks, is in the studio with us. He's this guy.
I've never felt so good in my life. It feels so good.
Yes. Yes.
It feels so good to be alive.
Will the Kings win a game this year?
How dare you?
They will most definitely win a hockey game this year.
All right, that is your prediction. They will win a game.
They will win. They will win a handful of games in a row.
Look, there's only been two.
And
we've only lost by like 5 goals each game.
Guys, it's a long season.
Right.
It's a long season.
Right.
We'll warm up.
Tonight. I think we're taking the Canucks.
We've
had it with them.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
What were your thoughts to the changes in the offseason? I mean, obviously that's where a lot of the deals are done, business is made, gets you excited for the new season. Are you happy with the squad that's on the ice?
Well, I like Luch. I think that's an impressive addition. I mean, when you get a player of that caliber, that's nothing to scoff at. Look, I think there's a lot of really interesting storylines going into the season with the team. Obviously, there are a lot of departures. Some of those are, you know, bummers, and then some of those maybe not so much. But but ultimately, I think the important thing to understand is this is a team that's core is still together. They've been playing together for a long time. They've had a great amount of success, and they needed a break.
Yeah, I agree.
They needed a break, and as much as they wanted to be able to, you know, go deep into the playoffs last year and make another run for it, I have no doubt that their hearts were in it and their minds were in it, but I think their bodies just, it can only go so much. So very
had they gone deep, I think I would have died. I'm pretty sure I was just...
I can't even skate for like half of a period.
No, I'm saying watching.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Another postseason with the Kings would have been too much for your heart, Kevin.
Absolutely. Yeah. I needed that. I'm with you. My heart needed a break. But, ultimately, I think they're coming back, obviously, very well rested.
Yes.
But
they got an extra 2 months off compared to seasons where they go deep, right?
And I think they got a big chip on their shoulder. So I'm expecting big things from them this year, and they're expecting that of themselves.
How are the Blackhawks this year, Colin?
They're really good.
Yeah,
they're always really good. You know, that's the thing. I mean, if you look at the two of the teams the last few years that really know how to win and know how to rally together. The Blackhawks are you know, the other team. Look, they're the defending champions for a reason, and it looks like they've also actually gotten a little bit better this year.
Yeah,
well,
that's annoying.
even though they had you know, they had some guys leave their team as well. So I don't want to say it's an even playing field, because I still think I bow the cap to the Hawks, but they're just as much. Everybody's got a shot. Even the Mallards have a shot.
I was gonna ask you, as a guy who starred in the movie Orange County, do you get a lot of grief from Ducks fans?
No.
Because that movie was all about wanting to leave Orange County.
Okay, all right.
No, that's unfair. I'm taking pot shots that don't need to be.
They do need to be taken.
But it's only because of the hockey rivalry. You don't have anything against Orange County. It's just hard to say anything nice about the Ducks. Because you're just a Kings fan.
It's just because I'm a Kings fan. That's it.
All right, listen, we're almost out of time. We know you have to go, but I do want to put in a mention of Life in Pieces, because you are back on TV. Was this a surprise to you that you ended up on a Monday night sitcom?
Absolutely.
Your whole career is a surprise to you, Colin.
I was still hoping that Nick Fargo was going to come back into my direction. It was a very big surprise. Look, I came back from Calgary from shooting Fargo, and all of a sudden I was available for another show, and I didn't quite know what it was going to be. You know, you spend 7 years waiting for a great show, and then you find it, and then they create something called an anthology series, which means you only get 1 year. So none of this was really sort of planned, but Life in Pieces came around, and it was so funny and so well written, and the structure of the show is so different and refreshing. This idea of using four short stories every week to tell a story of this greater, you know, multi-generational family, I thought that was actually really interesting, and leads to a lot of really great stories that can be told in a new, different, and funny way. So I just sort of said, this is a shocker, but I think I want to do this. And luckily, we got this amazing cast together, and I'm having an absolute blast. I could not be having any more fun on a show.
You are so intimate with your TV wife on this show. Look, I know you guys are only acting, but it has to be awkward when you're between her legs and you guys are breastfeeding together. You're doing it all together.
The scene where I put a frozen ice glove in between Zoe Lister-Jones's legs, that was our first day of filming. So
Hey, nice to meet you.
Hey, my name's Colin. Nice to meet you. Maybe playing your fake husband. I'm her husband. She's my fife. And we, luckily, Zoe and I, we get along. We have some good comedic chemistry. And it's a lot of fun. It's a really, really fun show.
Well, the show is very funny. And you talk about the cast. I mean, what's his face from The Newsroom?
Thomas Sadowski from The Newsroom. You have Betsy Brandt from Breaking Bad. You've got Zoe Lister-Jones, who's also known as Zoe Lister Credits because she's been in so many amazing things. Dan Bacadaw. I mean, we've got an amazing group of people on this show.
The show's very funny. Yeah. And I wasn't lying when I said it's one of the highest rated of the new shows this season, right? It's really well.
That is not a lie.
If there's a second season, will they go in a different direction? Or do you think maybe this is one of those? You should check.
We're going to find out.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to find out. At some point. They will tell me.
Okay, good.
Life in Pieces airs Monday nights at 8:30 on CBS. All Things Must Pass. Don't miss it this Friday night. It's going to be at the ArcLight and soon to be available in theaters everywhere. The documentary is so good, Colin. I know you said you put years of your life into it. Congratulations. Really, really well done, sir.
Thank you very much.
It's great to see you again. You're always welcome on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
One of the greatest promotions of the year happening on K-Rock right now and throughout the week on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about hooking you up with tickets to go see Muse December 19th at Staples Center. And it's not just going to the show, although that would be enough, right? We're also going to give you a suite at the show. We're going to give you a suite at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. We're going to give you a limo ride between the two. We're going to let you on stage to introduce the band. And for some unbeknownst reason, we're going to throw in $25,000.
It's crazy.
How's that for just a throwaway? And the cherry on top, $25,000. So that's what you will qualify for when you win your Muse tickets if you call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for Muse fans. If you love this band and you need to be there, call us now, 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to earn those tickets coming up just after 8. Here's Allie in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
And they're going to earn these ones, right?
They really are. This is going to be painful for everybody.
This is going to hurt.
Goodness. All right. Remember on Friday, Kevin, you and I drove down to Morongo?
Yeah.
Not together,
right.
Because you wouldn't go with me. Because I had a Christmas album that I had to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Bean alerted me to it. It was Earth, Wind, and Fire's new release, their new Christmas album. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
So this is Allie's pitch. Hey, we should carpool. I've got the new Christmas CD. I was like, oh, you know what?
From Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I feel like maybe I'll get there myself.
I don't know why. It was weird. But I thought I would repay that wonderful tip to Bean.
Okay.
Stray Cats guitarist and singer Brian Setzer will release a new Christmas album next week. Rockin' Rudolph is the first with the Brian Setzer Orchestra in more than 10 years. The 18-piece band will head out on its 12th annual Christmas Rocks Tour later this year.
I have a hookup in the Christmas music world. There's a whole dark underground of Christmas music collectors. So,
Known this for a while?
I've had it. I already have the record.
Pizza first, burst.
So it's great, but he's made other Christmas albums in the past that have all been great. I'm always excited when he puts out a new one because he's excellent.
How does this work? Is it what they call the dark internet?
That's how I'm using my hookups on the dark web is to get Christmas music early.
They're like, seriously, we could get you a machine gun or some drugs, some heroin. What? Setzer Orchestra.
That's right.
Search for it.
That's good news for everybody else, I guess.
It really is. Rockin' Rudolph again, October 16th. Or Bean 2 years ago.
Already, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. This was quite the conversation for the last few months. People were wondering, is Ronda Rousey indeed dating UFC heavyweight Travis Brown? Well, they have both confirmed that indeed they are. Ronda said yesterday, I don't talk about my personal life much. That's why it's called a personal life. It's true that Travis and I are in a relationship. I've really enjoyed the time we've spent together and getting to know one another. And that's all I'm going to say about it. And if she says that's all she's going to say,
one follows
we're
up.
Not going to ask. We are good. Thank you for that. But they are both training at the Glendale Fighting Club. So seeing a lot of each other, I can imagine. Randy Quaid. Good Lord. You saw that
best
picture yesterday.
Photo ever?
Right?
Yeah.
If you can.
It's a mugshot, right? Was it him being arrested or what?
It was like a random picture, it's not even a neck beard. I don't even know what is on his face. But
he looks like a Q-tip. He looks like he's just got a giant ball of white hair all around his head.
It's pretty magic. But,
I think Kevin is right. I think that wasn't a mugshot, but that was him at the point he entered the country when he came into Vermont from Canada. I think that was shot on the day he was arrested.
He got arrested coming across the border in Vermont.
Well,
he's a fugitive.
Yeah.
So I know. Fugitive from America.
But so how much is Vermont paying attention? Seriously.
Right?
Come on.
So high, just eating maple syrup. They don't care. But more problems for Randy Quaid and his wife, Evie. They couldn't come up with the $500,000 in bail yesterday, and they were put back into jail in Vermont on charges of being fugitives from justice in California. So they were arrested over the weekend while trying to get back into the U.S. from Canada, but they're wanted in Santa Barbara to face felony vandalism charges filed in 2010 after they were found squatting in a guest house of a home they previously owned. So now it's appearing that the sheriff's office in Vermont is now going to extradite them back here to face those outstanding charges. So, I can't wait.
Yeah, that's a mess.
I wonder
why he was coming back into America. I mean, he had it pretty good up there in Canada, safe.
Yeah, you'd think.
I wonder why he decided to go for it, to take that chance. And by the way, couldn't he have done something to make himself less conspicuous?
Right.
You're demanding people to look at you when you walk around with that hair and that beard.
That's true.
Oh, God bless him. It appears George Clooney is feeling the sting of Father Time, you guys. George
Please,
Clooney.
He's the only person that won't ever.
You would think, but if we're to believe these reports, he was shocked to see the lines on his face while filming Hail Caesar with Channing Tatum. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Several other young men in the movie, but he apparently caught himself in one of the shots, and he said, I look like their grandfather. So the director promptly reshot several scenes with a soft lens to make the age difference a bit less noticeable.
Isn't he like 52 or something?
Right.
He's not 80.
I hate to break it to you, George. You're allowed to age. Ladies, not so much. we need like a straight up cheesecloth in front of that camera. But you're kind of allowed.
Yeah, even old, he's great, right? I mean,
yeah.
He doesn't.
Right. Yeah, he's fine.
So suck it up, George. You look fine. All of these stars were born on today, the 13th of October. Dave's Clippers, he's got Paul Pierce at 38. The coach, Doc Rivers, is 54. Actress Kelly Preston is 53. Actor Matt Walsh, 51. Actress Kate Walsh is 48. Actor Sacha Baron Cohen is 44. And musicians Paul Simon, 74. And Sammy Hagar is 68. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, doing the Showbiz Beat.
Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8.07, and that is Muse.
Wait, that's Muse?
Acting.
Hey, that band is going to be at Staples Center on December the 19th. Tickets are going on sale Friday at 10. But check this out. Somebody on hold right now is going to win tickets to see Muse. That is definitely happening. That person will also be entered into the grand prize drawing we're going to do on Monday for what we call the Sweet Life with Muse. It's un-be-freaking-leavable what this grand prize is. You get a suite at the Staples Center. You get to introduce the band. You also get a suite at the Ritz-Carlton. You get a limo ride from the hotel to the show, and I assume back. And for some reason, $25,000. All of that if you win the Sweet Life with Muse grand prize drawing. Let's get somebody qualified with a game that we like to call. What are we calling this game?
Well, here's the thing. We usually do the Wheel of Celebrities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Ralph, who's a great impersonator, will do, you know, all of these different celebrities. And he reads the lyrics. And then they have to guess. Mm-hmm. Right. Ralph's out right now.
He's on vacation this week.
This week. So the rest of us have to fill in. Now, all of us are terrible.
Oh, I don't even think that.
I don't do impressions at all.
I take offense to that because I'm great.
Oh, Dave, you're not.
Mine is spot on.
This is Kevin. I do Alf, and I don't get a lot of call for that one, and the Queen. And then Bean does the Hulkster.
Mm-hmm.
And then Allie does Elmo and Yoda, which are basically pretty much the same. And much then the same. Dave does a spot on Ray Romano.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so
and also Kermit the Frog.
There's a reason why none of us are ever asked to do celebrity voices when Ralph is here. That's why this is the Wheel of Celebrity Voices, the janky edition.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities, the Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities, Wheel of Celebrities.
Janky! So you're going to spin the wheel for the contestant, and then it's going to tell us which celebrity is going to be reading lyrics from a Muse song. All the caller has to do is tell us the name of that Muse song to go into the drawing, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Let's start meeting our first contestant, and let's spin the wheel and find out who they get.
Hey, Letitia.
Hey there, how are you?
Well, we're good. We apologize for this ahead of time because none of us are good at this, but we're going to give it a try. I'm going to spin the wheel. See who's going to read your lyrics. This will be lyrics from a Muse song. Oh, it's Ray Romano. Oh.
Everybody
Ray Romano.
Loves Ray.
Hey, Ray.
All right,
hey, Ray,
Letitia.
Come on in.
All right.
You don't need to do any of that.
Come on in,
dude.
Ray.
Hey. Well, time out.
Okay. What timeout? First of all, there's no timeouts. Right. And second of all, we just started.
All right, time in. All right, you ready, Letitia?
Yes, I am.
All right, hey, it's Ray Romano. All right, here we go. My life. You electrify my life, Deborah. Let's conspire to ignite all the souls that would die just to feel alive, Deborah.
Deborah's not actually in the lyrics.
Oh. Yeah.
What Muse song is that, Letitia?
Oh, God.
Oh.
I'm sorry, that's Starlight. Yeah.
Bye,
sorry.
Ray.
Thank you, Letitia. Thank you, Ray Romano.
That was spot on.
Let's meet our next contestant. This is going to be Preston calling from San Bernardino. Hey, Preston, what's going on, man?
How's it going?
Well, let's find out. Let's spin the wheel and see who your celebrity is.
All right. It is the Queen of England.
Yeah.
The Queen of England. Wow.
You're lucky. This is going to be a treat. All right, Your Majesty, go ahead, please.
I thought I was a fool for no one. Oh, baby, I'm a fool for you. You're the queen of the superficial. And how long before you tell the truth?
Janky!
Is that
supermassive
black hole?
Yes, it is.
How about that? Janky.
Oh, how about that? You got mine, huh?
Wow.
Preston is in the drawing. Let's try Victor Northridge, line three, our next contestant on the Wheel of Janky Voices. Hi, what's going on?
Not much. Yay. Yay.
Yay.
Yeah, 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 indeed.
All right. Wheel of Celebrities Janky Edition. Yoda!
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 Great. Hey, Yoda.
Great.
Come to me. Trust in your dream. Come on and rescue me. Yes, I have known. I can be wrong. Maybe I'm too headstrong.
Janky! All right, what song is that?
Madness.
Yes! Madness.
Woo! Cookie Monster sounded good.
Right? Cookie Monster nailed it.
This is why you failed.
This is going way better than we have any reason to suspect it would. All right, who's up next, Kevin?
Next is Leonard in Fullerton. Hi, Leonard.
Hey, guys.
All right, we're going to spin the wheel and see who's going to read your lyrics. Oh, lucky you. You get Kermit the Frog. How about that?
Hold on.
What?
Wait, who's Kermit?
Dave.
Oh, it's Dave Kermit? Okay.
Kermit the Frog here. Okay, let's do this. Bury it. I won't let you bury it. I won't let you smother it. I won't let you murder it. Miss Piggy.
Janky.
All right, Leonard, what's
Kermit
that song?
Kermit T. Frog. That was Kermit T. Frog.
We got it.
Kermit T. Frog.
Right. Name of the song.
Hysteria.
Whoops.
Sorry, time is running out. All right, so let me just keep
score
here.
And that was Kermit T. Frog, just in case you didn't know.
Let me just recap. So the first one was Ray Romano.
Uh-huh. Right, it was Dave.
Didn't get it.
Uh-huh. Right.
The last one was Kermit the Frog. Didn't get it.
Didn't get it. Yeah.
Well, those guys suck.
How about that?
All right, I think we have time for just one more contestant, I'm sorry to say, on the Wheel of Celebrity Janky Voices.
Whatever we're calling it.
I don't even know.
Oh, the Hulkster.
Yeah.
Good news.
Hulk Hogan.
Good news, Oscar. You get the Hulkster.
Or whatever we're calling him.
Or whatever we're calling him.
All right, here we go.
Good luck.
No one's going to take me alive. It's
Mr. T.
Someone has Mr. T.
All right, well, then you get Mr. T.
I mean, don't try it all. No one's going to take me alive. Time has come to make things right, brother. You and I must fight for our rights. You and I must fight to survive.
Janky. Oh,
wow. All right.
What song was that?
That was garbage. I'm going with...
We're Muse. Uprising. These are only Muse
See
songs.
What you did?
What are you guessing?
I'm going with Uprising.
Sorry, unfortunately. Knights of Sidonia. No one's gonna take me. Let's do one more. I think we have time for one more.
Yeah.
Really, I think one more would be good. Let's go to Dallas in Huntington Beach. Hi, Dallas.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. You ready?
As long as you're not listening, it's going well.
Okay.
All right. Wheel of Celebrity Voices, Janky Edition, The Hulkster.
Yeah! Oh,
everybody, very excited about that.
What are the chances?
Hold on.
Yeah.
I think he hung up.
Okay. All right. Let's do our grand prize draw.
We have time.
We're out of time. Preston is in the drawing. Also, Victor and Oscar. Who wins the tickets to see Muse December 19th at Staples Center and is qualified for the Sweet Life with Muse?
You are a bad person.
The winner is Preston.
Yay!
Preston.
Preston, congratulations.
Thank you guys so much.
You know who that was? That was the Queen. Preston, yes. The Queen. Right?
It was perfect. That's my favorite.
Thank you. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel
of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities. Janky. A lot of ways to get in touch with the Kevin and Bean Show. We got the Facebook page and the Twitter account and the Instagram and the Snapchat, and we got the texting. We got lots of ways for you to get to us. And the reaction is very swift on the Wheel of Celebrity Voices Janky Edition. And that is that we should never do it again.
No, we know.
Frequent contributor Edwin writes in, when Ralph gets back, give him a raise, guys. Dave does impressions like the Clippers play in the playoffs. That's what Edwin says. Just add an insult to injury. All right. Petros Papadakis talks about the problems the USC team is having with rotating coaches coming up at 9 o'clock. But first, Taylor Swift is in the news.
And you know, I like Taylor Swift.
Right.
Beyond cute.
She's cute.
She's really tall. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not going to go for me, that's for sure.
Right.
Boy, is she tall.
Right, she's tall.
I guess Taylor Swift's really tall.
She's
tall. I don't know that.
Yeah, Taylor Swift is actually tall. She's in the news. Allie, why don't you recap for us what the story was that was going around yesterday that kind of got us talking a little bit during the show, Bisbee?
Apparently, it came out that her boyfriend, Calvin Harris, was visiting a massage parlor in Thailand. Mm-hmm. And a picture or something was snapped of him coming out of it. And
did he look relaxed?
I did not see the picture, but reports came out saying, oh, yeah, he was getting a, I believe, what you called a A-plus massage.
Massage
Kevin?
Plus.
Massage plus. Yeah. Or a happy ending. And then he tweeted about it, which I'd love to tell you about. here it is. He then tweeted, after everybody started reporting on this, that Taylor had broken up with him because of said happy ending massage. It's not going to be a happy ending for everyone. I sue for defamation of character for all these BS stories. Bye-bye.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
You're mad when you end with bye-bye, by
bye-bye.
The way. That's a mic drop,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, boom.
So when you brought this up yesterday, back before it had been denied by Calvin Harris, I said to you, I said, look, the guy's on the road. He's in Thailand. He goes in for a massage, so he gets a little extra in the massage. It doesn't mean anything. It's not. He's not cheating on his girlfriend if he does that.
Yes, he is.
A business transaction is all that is. It's a stress relief. That's all that's going on there. I'm saying
a stress release is someone rubbing your temples. It's not somebody A-plussing you.
I mean, maybe it's both.
Maybe it's, but look.
Maybe it's not.
I'm saying unless Taylor is as uptight as you are, Alex,
I say
she gives him a pass on this, and you seem to think that everyone agrees with you. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of people out there.
Oh, no, I'm not saying everyone agrees with me. There are scumbags like you that
Wait a second.
This is not cheating. Absolutely
why?
There will be.
Why would you? Why is Calvin Harris is a scumbag?
No, you
if
are.
If he gets Massage Plus, he's a scumbag, and Taylor should dump him? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, if you're in a relationship, nobody should be giving you a handy, ever. Except for your girlfriend. Oh, yeah, I'm uptight. That's right.
Well, let's take Calvin Harris out of this and Taylor Swift because he's denying and we don't know if it's true or not. The bean was like we were all joking.
God.
Like I said, hey, what's she uptight? But for me, it was joking.
Yeah, Bean's dead serious
he's
right now.
Pretty serious about that.
Look, and I think that there are a lot of people in very healthy relationships that would look at this as nothing more than just a stress relief. That's it.
Not, but those are people with an understanding in their relationship. They've discussed it, something like that. If your husband or boyfriend were to come home and say, you will never believe this massage I just had, and you've never discussed it, I don't think your lady is going to be thrilled.
Really?
Yeah. I don't.
Well, I thought it might be interesting to hear from our listeners on this topic.
What has your wife's decision been, Bean, and when this happens?
Well,
what is your wife's policy?
It hasn't happened.
No, but seriously.
No, it hasn't happened.
No, but I mean,
telling you, it hasn't happened. I don't know. How would she feel? I don't know that she'd have a problem with it.
That you paid a woman to be nothing more.
They give you a massage, don't they?
You get a massage.
Wow.
Look,
you just walk in there for like 30 seconds?
I'm not judging Bean and how long it takes, but it's wrong all around.
Really?
Come on.
I don't think so. I don't think it is.
Well, you're a creep.
But it hasn't happened yet.
Well, as long as you're leaving that door open.
I would be interested to hear from the Kevin and Bean listeners who have an opinion on this, particularly if you're on the right side of history with me saying that Taylor in no way dumps Calvin Harris just because he gets a happy ending at a massage parlor. It doesn't have any – it has zero impact whatsoever on the way they feel about each other or on their relationship.
Yeah, it's on. Yeah.
I get no amen from anyone in the room?
No.
I'm alone on this?
Yeah.
Because I feel like there are a lot of people on my side here.
I feel like people make too big a deal out of it, but I can't imagine it's not at least a deal. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine that people go, ah, cool.
Yeah.
I don't have to help today, so no worries.
Plus, they're apart a lot, and I don't know. It just it, I don't see who gets hurt here. I don't see what's the downside here. Who gets hurt in this scenario if it's true? And Calvin Harris is denying it. We have no reason to suspect that he's not telling the truth because we don't want to be sued. But who gets hurt if this happened?
You're still talking.
Yeah, I am. But I'm serious. How does it impact his girlfriend?
Let's ask Sarah in Irvine. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Who gets hurt, Sarah?
The girlfriend gets hurt.
How so? She's not involved at all.
Well, I think that's the point. In the sense that it's her boyfriend.
Right, it's her boyfriend who's coming home to her, who still loves her, who still doesn't even know the name of the woman that he paid $20 for the massage.
Yeah, well, if you really need that stress relief, do it yourself. Don't pay someone else to do it. Like, I'm with Allie on this one.
Do you have to pay yourself to do it yourself? I don't know how that works.
I think you're saving money. You're saving money.
Yeah, you're saving money.
All right. So let me ask you this. And again, we're all just speculating. We have no idea what really happened here, Sarah. But let's say, you know, Calvin Harris or whoever is in getting a massage, and it's not even his intention, but it just sort of happens. Like it's not like he went in there looking for a happy ending.
Well,
but I'm just saying
that is
she
that
forces
is
it on him.
Violation, and that's wrong on a whole other level.
Yeah, and when you go to a restaurant and you don't ask for dessert and they just bring out dessert, have you been violated, or is it just a little extra something that comes with the meal? That's
did
awesome.
Did you just compare sexual assault to dessert? Stop talking.
I'm saying there's no sexual assault there. I'm saying,
walk
look,
away.
He wasn't cruising Bangkok looking for a hooker. He was in getting a massage because he had been working hard and was stressed out. Stop and then, talking. How is he the bad guy because she offers a little something extra? It would be rude to turn her down. At this point, it's just rude to say no.
Let's go to line 8. Donna's
Let's
on the
take
phone.
A break. I think Sarah agrees with me. Thank you very much for the call. All right. We got to take a break, but we want to hear from you as well. 1-800-520-1067. No big deal. If this is what Calvin Harris did, then no big deal. And Taylor would be uptight to dump him. That's all I'm saying. I feel like I'm getting as much support as I've ever gotten for anything I've ever said on this show today. Like Carolyn, who writes in, seriously, just stop it. We are all with Allie on this one. Look, hear my whole thing. No one gets hurt. Calvin Harris, or whoever random guy is in this scenario,
is
getting a massage, and then it kind of happens. It's not a big
stop saying no one gets hurt because that's just false.
No one look the girlfriend can decide she's going to get bent out of shape about it, or she can just say it doesn't mean anything and it's no big deal and it's just stress relief.
Your ability to blame the woman is astounding.
How
to
am
me.
I blaming the
oh,
woman?
If she feels like being uptight and disagreeing with it, that's her right. Oh, come
I'm
on,
just,
Bean.
I'm just saying. So we're taking some calls on this story that apparently did not happen about Taylor Swift potentially dumping Calvin Harris because of a happy ending at a Thai massage parlor. I say that's the wrong move. That's what I say. Let's see what you, the Kevin B. listener, says. Why don't we start with Alvin? He's in Santa Ana. He sounds like a very reasonable young man. He's on line 2 and he's up first.
All right, Alvin, hi.
Hi. So,
what say you?
Two parts to my opinion. Number one, I don't think there's anything wrong if somebody wants to get offended, it's because they want to get offended.
Okay.
But number two, Allie, I think that's her name.
Yes.
She said
put me in my place right there, Alvin, didn't you?
Hey,
I'm
hey, Abby, shut up. Let him talk, Abby.
Yeah. Only your girlfriend can do that. When was the last time she gave a massage with an A+ to her boyfriend? Because they shut the doors.
All right, I missed
You're
all of that.
You're making great points, Alvin.
What did Alvin say? I thought Alvin was on my side. I don't even know what he was saying.
No idea.
All right. Let's try.
You want him on your side.
Let's try Huntington Beach, line 1. Let's go to Jen real quick.
All right. Hi, Jen.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What do you have to add to this conversation?
Okay, so my boyfriend, about 4 years ago, he went in for a massage, and he didn't ask for an A+ massage, but he ended up getting an A+ massage.
Oh.
He said the girl just brought out the hot oil and started going at it.
Right.
And he completed.
And then this music started playing.
All right. And so how do you know about this, Jen? Did he come home and say the craziest thing happened when I stopped for a massage?
He came home and told me because he was so taken back. He's like, I swear I didn't
understand what a happy ending is. All right. So what was your reaction, Jen?
I laughed. That was my exact.
You laughed. Okay. So
reaction. I laughed at him because he's so not the type of guy to do that. But on a there's a difference between someone not asking for it and someone going on a weekly basis and behind their girlfriend or their wife.
Right. I hate to break it to you, Jen. Jen, he knew it was going to happen. He went there for that.
You don't know that, Allie.
Do you think he was at a really nice, reputable place and all of a sudden it happened?
You have no idea. That's total speculation. Jen knows her boyfriend more than you do.
Word that he said on accident or something.
He walked in, winked, and said, "Handy." By accident.
All right, Jen, let me just ask you one more question. What if he did it on purpose? What if that's what he went there for?
If he did it on purpose, then I would be very disappointed because I give him A-plus massages all the time.
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling, my dear. We appreciate it very much. Let's go to Kevin in Huntington Beach. You know, all Kevins have the shakiest stories, but I'm willing to give him a chance and see what he's got to add to the conversation. Kevin, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Right on, Kevin and Dean. So I was dating this girl for about 2.5 years. Towards the end, sex life started to slow down a little. And I had a bunch of friends that would go to this place and get, you know, the A-plus massage. So I did one time, and I didn't tell my girlfriend about it or whatnot. And, like, a day or two later, I started noticing a red rash down in my the area. And I fully got scabies. But I didn't know that. So, and then I lived with my girlfriend, okay? So I lived with her. And so then I ended up giving it to her. So then I had to explain to her because she figured it out. We both went to the Minute Clinic and found out that it was scabies and it was a sexually transmitted deal. And I had to convince her that it was an A-plus massage and not that I went and hooked up with some other girl.
Right.
And here's the funny thing is that she was totally cool with the fact that I got the massage, well, I guess. But she wasn't cool with the fact that I tried to hide it from her and how unsanitary these places were and so on and so forth. But oh my God! So ultimately, it was the demise of our relationship.
And scene.
Well, I will say that any story that involves the sentence "I totally got scabies" isn't going to end well. So, all right, I guess that's our takeaway, kids. Hey, quick reminder, by the way, 1 week from today, do I have that right? Next Tuesday is October 20th, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to go with it.
Yes.
That is when K-Rock's Vein Drain Blood Drive is going to be happening at Universal Studios Hollywood. Our man Ralph Garman will be back from vacation and broadcasting live. So go on by and say hi to Ralph. We've got tons of great prizes just for coming down, including tickets for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. We've got tickets for The Cure, for the Danny Elfman Halloween Show. We got Muse tickets, Deftones, Rancid, so much more. All the details at K-Rock.com. But plan on giving blood. It's K-Rock's Vein Drain Blood Drive 1 week from this morning. Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on here on a Tuesday?
There is apparently something called a Problem Solvers Convention.
Problem Solvers Convention.
Yes, and at said convention yesterday, Donald Trump spoke, and he told the bipartisan convention dedicated to improving civility in public discourse that he will be less divisive on the campaign trail. Oh, Donald. He then said, "I'm running against a lot of people. Many are going to be dropping out. I think very soon, if they're smart, they're going to be dropping out. Many. Too many people." So, saying he was going to be less divisive on the campaign trail, he then basically made fun of everybody he's running with. So
Sit down.
It's true.
I find it funny that he even showed up there.
A problem solvers convention.
Guys, how sad? Look, in all seriousness, how sad is it going to be when Donald Trump drops out of this race?
Well, for me, because I hate politics, it's going to suck ass.
He has been so entertaining and continues to be so. I hope we're not losing him. I hope we're not getting near the end.
I'm more fearful that he won't and that he will possibly be president.
You think people would vote for him?
Yes.
I thought we were all just having a laugh.
No, I thought that too people will retweet things. I'm like, that's an ironic tweet. Oh, they're serious.
I still think there aren't enough of those people. I just assume that he's never going to be president. I just want him to entertain us in the meantime.
I think we all started thinking that.
I still believe that.
And now it's just been going on so long you're getting nervous that it might be real.
I'm nervous, you guys. I'm not going to lie.
To me, the Trump campaign is like the fourth quarter of the Seahawks game on Sunday, where you go, well, we got a 17-point lead. We can't possibly. All right, so they got a field goal. But that's okay. We're still fine. Right. Hey, wait, they just got another touchdown. It's closer than I'd like, but we can run out the clock. And then the next thing you know, you lose the game. So that's what we're worried is going to happen with Donald Trump. It's all funny until the popular vote.
It's terrifying. Like we were talking about, the Democrats are going to be doing their debate tonight, I believe.
Yes.
No one's talking about it.
No one.
No one cares. What's happening? We don't
Well, Kevin's
care.
Idea was that Donald Trump ought to be allowed to participate in the Democratic debate also.
I think they would be wise to do that. I think they would because it would get a lot more eyeballs, and they could contrast themselves with him.
Right. Smart. Good idea.
Would you be more willing to watch that debate with Donald Trump in it or not in it?
100% in it. Totally. 100%.
Totally.
You're right, Kevin. That's why Kevin should be running things, you guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
This has taken so many terrifying turns. Goodness gracious. All right, something we talked about this morning, and we were wondering why and how this would be. But for decades, people have been claiming that they read Playboy for the articles. Well, now you are going to be put to the test because the New York Times is reporting that the men's magazine is going to deliver pictures of women posed provocatively, but not naked anymore.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
This is the first time since the magazine's debut in 1953 that it won't be publishing pictures of nude women.
It seems like an odd move considering that's been their entire game the entire time. I don't get that.
I mean, there's so much competition in that area. I guess they're just not able to carve anything unique out of it.
But what are they going to do? They're going to take on, like, Maxim? Then, you know, like magazines that where there are sexy...
I guess so,
I guess so. I feel like that magazine dies with Hugh Hefner, don't you guys?
Absolutely.
Like, they keep printing it so they don't kill the old man, but once he's gone, there's not going to be any reason to keep it around.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's still very popular.
Although,
just people are telling him.
Never sold more than we did this week, Hugh. It's going great.
Don't tell Hugh about the internet. Don't.
And no one tell him about the fact that we're not going to put naked pictures in anymore.
Oh, that would break his heart.
Oh. So sad. Well, something that we can all look forward to this Saturday, the return of Tracy Morgan hosting Saturday Night Live.
Yay!
So good. He tweeted last night, my first time on stage in 16 months at the Comedy Cellar, picking up the pieces. And he actually went on and performed not only at the Comedy Cellar in New York City, but then went on to a club called The Stand and apparently destroyed.
I'm going to get everybody pregnant.
No word if that happened, but I, at this point, I'm okay. If it does, we just want him well, and we want him happy, and we want him healthy.
That's
but
good news.
To think that 16 months ago, that was that huge accident. He didn't know if he would know how to walk, talk, think, feed himself, anything. Oh, such good news.
I'm scared, Jay Moore.
That's an interesting soundbite. John Legend and his wife, model Christy Teigen, are expecting their first child. People magazine broke the news yesterday saying, as many of you know, we've been trying to have a baby for a while now. It hasn't been easy, but we kept trying because we can't wait to bring our first child into the world and grow our family. Chrissy has spoken publicly about how they've been struggling to conceive. So congratulations to them.
And that little baby will grow up to be Adolf Hitler.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Not even a little bit.
Nope.
Oh, Pat. Not good.
No.
Do you guys remember what you did for your 18th birthday?
That's so funny.
Do you remember your 40th birthday? Do you remember?
You. 18th birthday. Not really.
Bean?
No.
Oh, Bean has no memory of
not at all. I don't have memory of last year's birthday.
All right. Well, we talked last week about Bella Thorne turning 18. Well, she did what most 18-year-olds would do. She had dinner on a private yacht with some of her best friends and her boyfriend, Greg Sulkin. And then she took over Six Flags Magic Mountain. The whole park.
Nice.
I think if I did that
was
when
it similar?
I was 18.
That private yacht?
I don't.
Then headed over to
I don't think
Valencia?
Either.
No?
I don't think either.
It's good to be Bella Thorne.
No kidding.
Is all I am saying. Well, all of these stars were born on today, the 13th of Rocktober. Actor Sacha Baron Cohen is turning 44 years old. Kate Walsh is 48. Actor Matt Walsh is 51. No relation, and they are indeed not twins. Thank you, Bean, for that. Since
just
they are
throwing it out there
three
as a possibility. Just seemed kind of weird to me. I thought there might be more to that story.
But twins?
You don't know, man.
Well, they're 3 years apart. I think we do.
4 years apart.
Four years.
Okay.
I mean, I think
if that's your story, Allie,
it's science.
I will allow it.
All right. Actress Kelly Preston is 53. Paul Simon is 74. And singer Sammy Hagar is 68. Sammy Hagar or David Lee Roth? Which one? Who do you want?
Oh,
Well, wait, what are you talking
only
about?
Only Diamond Dave.
As the lead singer of? Yeah, definitely Dave. No question.
Hagar makes better tequila, but Diamond Dave for rock and roll credentials, absolutely.
Okay. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
When the University of Southern California Trojans travel for their game this weekend against Notre Dame, they will have their fourth head coach in 4 seasons. That's not what you want in your program, right? That's not the direction you want to be going.
I don't feel that's good.
That's not ideal.
Nope.
Well, we wanted to find out more with our good friend Petros Papadakis, who let's never, ever forget, in addition to being the co-host of the very popular Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570, he is the former team captain of the worst football team in USC history. P, what's going on, man? Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
My record may be threatened this year. I don't know.
So, P, we've talked to you before over various coaching changes, and it's been a black eye on the franchise a little bit in recent years, but this one seems particularly sad. Can you bring us up to date with what the past couple of weeks have been like for Trojan fans?
It is sad, and I'm going to try to be sensitive about it, but to be honest, I never thought a guy could be fired in a more embarrassing way than Lane Kiffin was fired on the tarmac of a private airport, the Imperial Terminal, after a loss at Arizona State, where he was told he wasn't even allowed to clean out his office.
Find your own way home.
Yeah, Sark's going to be allowed to clean out his office, I think. But this is more embarrassing and a lot sadder, obviously, than the situation with Lane Kiffin. You know, we're talking about a guy who's not stable and obviously unable to control himself. And that was the case, though, 7 weeks ago. And that's the big problem here and the real travesty is that he was left in charge for 7 weeks when he was not stable. And it's not like you or me rolling up to work all drunk like Willie Loman, you know, screaming at people. I mean, that affects people, no doubt. But this guy's got 100 players, 85 scholarship guys, families of all the staff. You know, all these people are kind of reeling right now because they depend on that guy, and he makes $4 million a year to keep it together.
And explain to people who aren't familiar with the story what happened the last 3 or 4 days.
USC had a bad loss to Washington on Thursday night. Washington's where Sarkisian used to coach, and they were kind of disillusioned with his performance anyway in his years up there. USC could have hired the guy that ended up at Washington, the wonder kid out of Boise State, not so much a kid anymore, Chris Peterson, right?
Right.
Are you guys following me so far?
Yep. Uh-huh.
So Chris Peterson, who could have had the SC job, came down, basically, and beat up Sark with a worse team but a way better game plan. Steve Sarkisian apparently showed up to practice on Sunday or meetings on Sunday, somehow not himself, parentheses, drunk or impaired somehow, and got fired, basically.
Pete, you mentioned, I think, yesterday on social media, you said this would have been a great decision for UFC had they done it 7 weeks ago. How was it allowed to get to the point where it was? Why did they allow him to start the season as the head coach if it was widely known that he had a problem with alcohol?
Because they were hoping, I mean, I can only guess because I'm not Pat Hayden, but they were hoping that they would win games and this would go away. Obviously, that's a ridiculous thing, but that's the best thing I can think of as to why they made that decision to keep him there.
It must have been, hey, you know, let's hope that he'll get it under control.
I guess. I mean, you have to ask yourself the question now, if they were undefeated, you know, if they'd beaten Stanford at home and had they beaten Washington, would USC still be scrambling to cover this up? And the answer to that question, and believe me, I know that place better than anybody, I might have to say maybe they would, and it's sad to say, but they've handled basically every turn that they should have gone right, they've gone left. This is a wonderful dissertation on how not to handle any of these controversies that arise. They really screwed this up.
Petros, if there were indeed whispers of this happening when he was at Washington.
There were.
Okay, so let's say there were. Exactly. Then he's at that pep rally of the boosters, wasted. Okay, then that happened. Now this. At what point do you say to Pat Hayden, you're out, you're next?
Well, that's a great question. You know, first and foremost, I mean, rumors are rumors. And, you know, I guess sort of a journalist in a way.
I'm a football analyst. Right.
Yeah. So you can't just sit there and say, you guys know, you can't just sit there and say every rumor you hear about Gavin Rossdale on the show. You know,
you say
about half of them. Right. You know, but as they pile up, and, you know, I don't need rumors to know what somebody's like. I've known Steve Sarkisian since I was in high school. you know. And I like Steve, and I'm really sad for Steve. And to me, Allie, you're right. This is not about Steve. This is about Pat Hayden, who is his employer that left him in charge. And it's about the president of the University of USC, Max Nikias, who let his employee, Pat Hayden, and his dear friend do all this stuff. Now, yeah. Pat Hayden is a more important person than all of us combined in the city of Los Angeles.
Right.
He's a big deal. And I've gotten texts and tweets that, you know, I'm going to suffer the consequences for going after a guy that powerful, you know. So it's a hard thing to say Pat Hayden screwed this up, because there's a lot of people that are with a lot of power in town that protect him. That being said, there's a lot of people, not just me, saying that. Now, he won't be fired. People like that don't get fired, but they do get moved to the Coliseum Committee or to the B of A Board of Trustees or something like that. I just can't, to answer your question, I can't imagine him hiring the next coach.
Okay. All right, P, I know you're hot on us treating you like a journalist, but you still are on you're still on TV Sunday nights making football picks against a chicken, right? That's
it's
still a thing that you do.
Damn,
oh,
it's
a parrot.
Chicken don't talk.
Okay, that's right. It's a pig last year. This year it's a parrot. Okay, I just want to make sure everybody knows the quality
integrity.
Journalism. Well, so Clay Helton, he's a Band-Aid. He's not the guy, right?
He's perfect for this situation.
Okay.
He's boring as hell.
All right, that's what you want.
Okay.
And
he
dead
is
sober.
More boring than a low-salt wheat fan. I love him.
So all you want from that coach now is to hear nothing. That's it. Just stay out of the news.
I've always liked Clay Helton, just X's and O's wise, which you guys don't want to hear. I like his play calling for this USC
all right.
team.
So could he coach? Could he be the head coach?
No.
All right.
P, thank you for your insight on that. We very much appreciate it. And I know that you do work for Fox Sports 1, but you are lending your talents. You're being farmed out a little bit, so we'll actually see and hear the P on ESPN tonight. It's a new 30 for 30 called Trojan War. What kind of ground does this cover?
It's about how we met. It's the story of how Petros Papadakis met Kevin and Bean.
I don't think that doesn't sound right.
I don't think that's right.
No, it is. Because you guys wanted to talk to me when USC football got hot in the early part of this century. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Matt Leinart, all sexy and sort of half-bearded.
Right.
And Reggie Bush, you know, wearing out old Kim Kardashian, you know.
Right, but right? I'm guessing it's a 30 for 30, so Bean and I are not involved in any way.
Right,
yeah,
it's about
it was
the program.
A simpler time, man.
Yeah.
It's all about the USC Pete Carroll era. And I think I'm the guy who's a D. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like they're going to have like five people interviewed that say like, oh, this was great and this was wonderful and this, and then they'll cut to me and I go, it sucks. Everything sucks.
You're just the voice of doom?
Yeah, pretty. I think that's why they say, you know what, we have all these good-looking Hollywood lay-do type people talking about how great it was back then. Let's get a fat, ugly, sweaty curmudgeon
talking
about how terrible it was. And that's going to be me.
I don't believe that.
I don't know what the problem is that P has, but he is convinced that everyone thinks he's fat and ugly and sweaty. And I know so many people, my wife included, by the way, who have the total hots for Petros, think he's super cute. Why is it you run yourself down all the time, Petros? You know you look good, man.
I have a Twitter feed.
I can't believe that, though.
Yeah, once you start retweeting all the Fatros comments and stuff like that, it just encourages
you
more people
worse?
To get into the – what?
On Twitter, I'm at Petros and Muddy, so
right.
It's kind of confusing to people.
Right.
What's
uh-huh.
worse is like if I'm calling like a Maryland game or something, and I get this weird, you know, bug to just type my whole name into Twitter, Petros Papadakis.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, so the people that aren't tagging me but what they're saying about me.
Uh-huh.
Right. And that's when it gets –
Yeah.
That's when it gets real dark.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's when it gets dark.
Petros, that's not real life.
Don't
it's
do
not
that.
Real life.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
Real.
That's people cowering behind their keyboards. Those
it
aren't
real
people.
It's
stop.
Not
right.
real.
Stop doing it.
30 for 30, Trojan War tonight on ESPN. In our final 30 seconds, P, how are you feeling about the Dodgers in New York tonight against the Mets?
Well, considering Clayton Kershaw's off 3 days rest, and last time he pitched off 3 days rest after he got ripped by the St. Louis Cardinals, he got ripped again by the St. Louis Cardinals. So
right.
He got ripped by the Mets. He's on a 3 day
but in, but in game one, in his, I mean, his defense, yeah, he had that terrible seventh inning, but he did strike out, what, 11 or something like that? I mean, he didn't look bad game one.
Yeah, but there's some kind of playoff monkey. You know, there's a monkey there. And I don't know what it is. I don't know. Clayton Kershaw won't talk about it. He's a pretty angry guy.
I can imagine.
We'll see how it plays. I mean, if they can get back to L.A. with Greinke pitching, I mean, that's the best they can hope for. But it'll be a tall order tonight. New York's got a lot of momentum after last
all
night.
Thank you, sir. We love you. Thanks for coming on.
Love you guys. Have a great day. Popo's out.
Thank you, Pete.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 938.
Eyeballs.
Yeah, right?
Eyeballs.
Right.
Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
What's going on with you?
A lot of breaking news on Twitter right now, so let's get through some stuff. Condé Nast, the media giant that owns Vogue, Vanity Fair, Wired, and The New Yorker, has just purchased Pitchfork Media, the 20-year-old online music publication that rivals kind of Rolling Stone-ish, maybe Vice, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the reasoning, the CEO said, was they wanted basically millennial males to be more interested.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay.
Are you with me?
Well,
I don't think millennial males are digging Vogue, Vanity Fair, or The New Yorker.
Agreed.
So,
I think you're right. I think it sounds like you've made their case for them, that they were smart to buy a property that will bring some of those eyeballs to their websites.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Really?
Yeah.
You're going to stick with that? Feel good about it?
I do.
Okay. Someone that maybe shouldn't have done this interview quite in this way, rapper T.I., he's the Atlanta rapper. He brought us, I believe, Iggy Azalea. He said in an interview with DJ Wu Kid, I don't know who that is. It might be Wu Kid. I apologize. But he said that he will not be voting for a woman for president. And any time you start a quote with these words, not to be sexist, but just don't. Just maybe stop there. But here's his quote. Not to be sexist, but I can't vote for the leader of the free world to be a woman. Just because every other position that exists, I think a woman could do well. But the president is kind of like, I just know that women make rash decisions emotionally. They make very permanent, cemented decisions. And then later, it's kind of like, it didn't happen, or they didn't mean for it to happen. Then he moves on. Here's my favorite. I think you might be able to get the Loch Ness Monster elected before you could get a woman.
Wow.
Okay.
OTI.
I have many questions.
OTI.
Wow.
Not the least of which is, even if you believe that nonsense,
yeah,
who's dumb enough to say it out loud?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look, if he didn't want to vote for Mrs. Clinton, that's fine. But to say I'm not going to vote for any woman ever?
Mm-hmm. Then make an imaginary monster as a better option than a woman. Oh,
wow.
T.I.
T.I.
I will not purchase any more of your music that I never purchased before.
But now you're going to not buy it with extreme prejudice.
Extreme prejudice. And I'm going to write a very strongly worded letter to your wife, Tiny.
Okay. Yeah, what about Tiny?
Right?
What does Tiny have to say about all this?
I hope Tiny responds. We're talking about people named Tiny.
We are.
I do
think you're right that not to be sexist, but is a bad start to anything. Even if you're making a good point, I do think that's maybe not the way to get into it.
Not to be racist, but to be sexist, but not to be homophobic, but just stop.
I bet T.I. has some friends that are women, though. I bet that's what he comes back with.
I hope he does. Listen, you guys, I didn't mean it. My wife's a woman. All right, you guys. Fall Out Boy has re-recorded Irresistible. That's on the band's latest album, American Beauty, American Psycho. Of course, has Patrick Stump singing lead, but they have re-recorded it with Demi Lovato as the lead. And they are going to be releasing the single on Friday. Pete Wentz wrote in his blog, I think Demi Lovato has one of the most powerful voices today. So we worked through an afternoon, and she just got it.
Do you want to hear a little of Demi Lovato?
Oh, you have it?
Yeah.
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves were such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress. I dropped that bomb and I love making you laugh. I've been working so hard, time and a half.
Flying down the rapids, my heart is beating fast. I hope I don't fall out so I can make love last.
Demi Lovato.
I feel like that may be the unfinished version.
Yeah, rough track?
Yeah,
rough.
Well, they got till Friday to get it worked out.
I feel like she did just get it, though. That was good. And you brought this up earlier. What does Patrick Stump think?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, yeah. Was it not good enough? What?
Well, maybe he was in on it as well.
I hope so.
Yeah, I would.
Because otherwise, if he's hearing about it now on the radio.
Sorry, Patrick.
It's not ideal.
I want to go chat with Pete, then blog about it. I love that Pete Wentz has a blog, you guys.
Yeah.
I need to bookmark that.
No.
Nope. Turns out ABC is redoing Fantasy Island, but with an all-female cast. Deadline is reporting the new series will follow a brilliant, dynamic, and sexy woman who runs a San Francisco-based outfit named Fantasy Island.
Have they checked this with T.I. to make sure it's okay?
I doubt it. Well, T.I. did say women can do all sorts of other things except lead the free world. So maybe he's on board with this. But it's going to fulfill the client's deepest and darkest wishes. No star yet for the new series.
Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
It's Fantasy Island.
Fantasy Island.
Yeah,
sorry.
Fantasy. Very, very different. Nigel Lithgow, he tends to make some hits. American Idol, still going strong. But, or is it over?
It's in its final season.
I know that it's not going strong.
I think its final season comes back in January, I think.
I don't know what the story is, but I know that your story is wrong.
Take two.
New show from American Idol producer Nigel Lithgow. He knows his way around hits.
He does.
It's in the works. It's called The Easiest Game Show Ever. A pair of contestants works together to answer 20 true or false questions to win up to $100,000 in cash per episode. They just need to get at least 15 of the 20 answers correct. But here's where I'm in. Michael Ian Black is hosting.
Yeah.
I love him.
That's a good move,
I think. He can do anything. The show will run on cable network Pop starting early next year. What is Pop? Did Pop take over, like, it was a different network?
I think so.
I don't know what Pop is.
I think you're right. I think it changed its name from something else.
Is Tiny House Nation on Pop?
I don't know about Tiny House.
Good work. They really do. Right. Do you want to wrap this up?
Yes.
I do, too.
More than you.
All of these stars were born today on the 13th of Rocktober. L.A. Clippers coach Doc Rivers is 54. His new star, Paul Pierce, is 38. Sacha Baron Cohen, 44. Kate Walsh is 48. Actor Matt Walsh is 51, and actress Kelly Preston is 53. I'm Allie McKay in for the vacationing Ralph Garman. Welcome to Showbiz Pete.
Thank you, Allie. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, I believe we're going to talk to Mama Muggs, Dodgers fan number one.
Make or break tonight.
Either is she number one or is she last?
Both.
Not positive. Both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is a passionate, realistic, optimistic fan, according to her. But what? How much I told you so is there going to be if they do get eliminated in the first round of the playoffs, which is what she's predicting since the season began?
Oh, no.
Yeah, do we want to talk to her?
We do.
Totally.
I think we need to give her say.
Oh, man, that's going to hurt.
It is going to hurt.
Actor Jeff Garlin will also be in studio. Love him. And we'll continue to qualify you for the Suite Life with Muse tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.